February 22, 1982, Joe Martino opened Orchard Nutrition Center with a simple philosophy: to be able to have the choices available for a completely healthy lifestyle. And to this day, Joe and the entire Orchard Nutrition Center family have kept that promise for 37 years. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer, announces their new design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. Now with Powerhouse Solar's new design showroom, you can view your property and see your solar design on the spot so you can see what best works for you. Maybe it's a trellis-mounted system, pole-mounted systems, or roof mount. See all the options in Powerhouse Solar's design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. For information, go to powerhousesolar.com or call 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you. I'm groovy.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The Cigar and Pleasure Friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
Well, on this Passover and Easter 2019 holiday weekend, we hope wherever you are celebrating, you are with friends, you are with family, you are getting ready to enjoy a wonderful weekend. And what makes it even more wonderful is when as Alphas we can congregate and we can share in life's great pleasures, including, but not limited to, of course, cigars, spirits, diversions, dice, dames, travel, little golf, little hockey. Playoffs, not so much for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Talk about an epic collapse. Get ready for the NFL draft. And just enjoy the fruits of your hard labor on this holiday weekend. And we shall do so appropriately on this edition of the Cigar Dave Show. Long Ash greetings and salutations. A Long Ash snappy salute. Semper. Delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. Screw the socialist. Your five-star global general and commanding Alpha male in chief from Command Center Alpha in the Cigar City of Tampa. I've also got by me my two canines. I've got Pendragon's Royal Sultan and Pendragon's Royal Baron. Baron is chomping on a giant, supposedly indestructible Nylabone, but so much for that. It's getting destructed. I think it's beef flavored. We only no vegan flavored for him. And Sultan at 13.5 is taking a well deserved snooze just after high noon on this Passover and Easter holiday weekend. As always, be sure to follow me on social media. Twitter at Cigar Dave Show, but if you go to CigarDave.com, upper right-hand corner, click on all the links to our various social media feeds, and you can follow us along. It is Easter. And when you think of Easter, what do you think of? You think of chocolate Easter bunnies, and apparently in England, Easter ducklings. In fact, in... There you go, as they march into Command Center Alpha, just like being at the Peabody Hotel in Memphis. They come walking right in. In fact, that got the attention of Baron, who's now looking around, tilting his head, saying, where are the ducks? That could be an appetizer for me. Well, in Buffalo, another tradition is they have butter lambs at the Broadway Market. So there's all sorts of different traditions for Easter. And in Britain, the British supermarket chain Waitrose, which I'm sure Mick the Brit, if he would ever get off the... Stop sucking the giant boob, the inflatable boob, that feminist group that is promoting women's breastfeeding in public places. If he would get off of that thing, he's been on it for a week and still hasn't released yet. But I'm sure if Mick ever did release, he probably has shopped at Waitrose many times, well-known supermarket chain in Britain. They came out with three chocolate Easter ducks. And I think to yourself, chocolate. Can't go wrong. I don't care if it's a duck, a bunny, whatever the case is. They featured three types of ducks, each with different chocolate. A milk chocolate duck named Crispy, a white chocolate, or yellow really, it looks like yellow chocolate, named Fluffy, and a dark chocolate with these like pink specks all over it named Ugly. Now, Sergeant Steve, let me ask you, would anything draw your attention? These are chocolate ducks. The milk chocolate is Crispy. The white or yellow chocolate is Fluffy. The dark chocolate with the little pink specks is Ugly. Would anything raise your awareness, or would you think that there's any sort of racism going on by looking at those chocolate ducks?
No, I've read the story of the Ugly Duckling. It's a well-known story.
Correct. The Danish author Hans Christian Andersen. Very well known, and it's based off of that basically had those duck names. I mean, there was Crispy, Fluffy, and Ugly. Well, my oh my, a Twitter user shared her concern after seeing the ducks for sale and overhearing other customers complaining. Because immediately, you have to be drawn to some sort of racist parallel. There must be a deep connoted meaning by having the dark chocolate named Ugly. Now, actually, when I first saw this, the picture of these, the reason I thought it was ugly wasn't because of dark chocolate, was the fact that it had all these pink specks all over it. And it was kind of an ugly-looking duckling, an ugly duckling. And again, the first thing I thought about is when I saw the names, I remember the story from Hans Christian Andersen, the children's story, The Ugly Duckling, way, way back. Apparently, kids today don't know anything about literature, and that's a pretty well-known work by Danish author Hans Christian Andersen. So this woman tweets out and says, Crispy, Fluffy, and Ugly. Trio of Easter ducklings at Waitrose. Ugly is the dark one on the right. Overheard women saying, this is not right. I agree. Doesn't look good at all. Thousands of other options. Why ugly? Insinuating that there must be some sort of racist component. And many people said, how could Waitrose, this supermarket chain, how could they allow this to happen? Here are other Twitter users saying, I must say I'm pretty disgusted. It's 2019, Waitrose. 2019! Doing this to ducks? Ugly or not, is not okay on any level. What message is it sending? Honestly, I'll tell you, the message it's sending is there are three chocolate freaking ducklings. That's it. And I assure you, if they named the milk chocolate crisp, the one that's named Crispy Ugly, somebody would have had a problem with that. And if they named the yellow one instead of Fluffy Ugly, somebody would have had a problem with that. We've gone off the deep end. Everybody thinks everything is racist. It's ridiculous. Are we going to get to the point where we say no more monkeys in zoos? Because we don't want anybody to even think and remotely draw parallel that when we are featuring monkeys, that, oh, it must have some sort of racist parallel. Please, give me a break. This has gone on and is now excessive. Waitrose apparently rolled right over. Instead of saying, look, there's no racist intent, comes from this particular story, that's it. It's got these ugly pink specks on it. So if anything racist, it's that we're against pink people. I don't know. Are there pink people? I guess not. But in any event, they came out and said, we're very sorry for any upset caused by the name of this product. It was absolutely not our intention to cause any offense. We removed the product from sale several weeks ago while we changed the labeling, and our ducklings are now back on sale. Meanwhile, the woman, Livia Aliberti, who first called out the supermarket chain, faced a flurry of backlash, has come out with this tweet. I understand what you are trying to do, but by making such a big deal from a chocolate duck that is based on a story, you make racism for me and other pox a lot worse. I don't know what a pox is, but anyway, a pox a lot worse. If you want to fight real racism, please start with people, not innocent chocolate ducks. Well, honey, sweetheart, sugar, why did you even bring up this tweet that in 2019 that there's a problem with having the dark chocolate duck named Ugly? You're the one that called this out. You're the one that made a big deal in belief that the crew did exactly what Boeing prescribed. Actually, in Ethiopia, they did. The problem is, and Boeing has acknowledged this, that according to their procedure, when you turn off the trim, the electric trim, you have to use a manual trim lever. Or trim, just like a trim handle, where basically it's a circular handle and you've got to rotate. It's a trim wheel. The problem is it's almost impossible without two people, two hands to turn it. Boeing knew about that issue. And pilots have said, well, what you have to do is you have to raise the nose, then release it, then you crank it once. Then you raise it again. I mean, please. Again, no simulator trading on this. Of course you're going to have an issue. So very interesting, some updates from the Wall Street Journal. Boeing did not get any commercial 737 orders in March. They didn't book one commercial order for the 737. That is the first month in 7 years that they did not receive an order for their best-selling 737. And you can better be sure, you can believe that airlines now are rethinking their orders. This is a tarnished airplane. There is no doubt about it. Now, Boeing is still building the 737 MAX. They've cut down on the production schedule. They previously forecast to sell more than 550 MAX planes. That's going to be out. $27 billion in market capitalization has been wiped from Boeing's market value. Earnings are coming out, I think, next week. You can be sure they're going to take a hit. And here's another story I saw in the New York Times. They did a very in-depth story by Jack Nikas and Julie Cresswell. Headline, Boeing 737 MAX, 1960s design, 1990s computer power, and paper manuals. Here's how they start the article. And this just shows you the engineering flaw, that Boeing wanted to minimize the training costs, so instead of creating a clean sheet design, they basically overstretched, dumbed down a 737 that should have 21st century technology. They dumbed it down to 1980s and 90s technology. Even the engineers were not happy about it, as was addressed in this article. The engineers rolled their eyes when they were told, nope, can't do any new technology, don't want to do it, can't do it, because if airlines have to retrain pilots, we promise them there'll be no additional training. It'll cost us $1 million per plane for any additional training. And there's a little caveat to that story, which I'll tell you in a minute. But it starts out by saying pilots start some new Boeing planes by turning a knob and flipping two switches. That is correct. On the Airbus, same way. The Boeing 737 MAX, however, works differently. Pilots follow roughly the same seven steps used on the very first 737 that flew nearly 52 years ago. Shut off the cabin's air conditioning, redirect the airflow, switch on the engine, start the fuel flow, revert the airflow, turn back on the AC, turn on a generator, and then the engines spool up. The 737 MAX is a legacy of its past, built on decades-old system, many that date back to the original version. And the strategy Boeing wanted to employ, to keep updating the plane rather than starting from scratch. But now, that flawed strategy with the engines that are too big that for the existing 737 fuselage, they had to raise move forward the engines. They had to elevate the nose gear. All these changes changed the rough flight handling characteristics, the center of gravity. Essentially what you're doing is you stretch and you twist and you're just, sooner or later, you say, hey, you can't do this anymore. It's 21st century. We need to build a new airplane. The foundation of the 737 MAX is not from the 21st century. It's from the 1960s. General aviation aircraft today, private jets, private piston airplanes, private turboprops, have better technology than the 737 MAX and is now a reputational hazard. Here's what Rick Ludtke, a former Boeing engineer who helped design the MAX's cockpit, he said, and I quote, it was state-of-the-art at the time, but that was 50 years ago. It's not a good airplane for the current environment. And the reason is, here's a perfect example. If there is a problem that occurs on any of the newer technology airplanes, the Airbus A320, the A330, the A350, the A380, the Boeing 787, there is an issue on your MFD, the multifunction display that is in what's called a glass cockpit. They're TV screens, essentially, or LCD panels. A master caution or a master warning light will pop up, and it will give you a diagnosis of what the problem is. You know, engine overheat, engine fire, hydraulic issue, air conditioning pack. And then it tells you exactly what to do. It displays a checklist. Not on the 737 MAX. You get a warning label or a warning indicator. You then have to go through a manual have to go through an old physical flight manual and a checklist to determine what the problem is. When you've got major issues going on in the cockpit, you don't have time to be looking at a manual. As I learned to the three very important elements when you are learning to fly and an emergency situation comes up. ANC, aviate, navigate, communicate. Very first thing, fly the airplane. Fly the airplane. Yeah, there may be checklists that come up on the multifunction display. You still have to fly that airplane. But to start flipping through pages of flight manual, forget it. Doesn't work. And remember, Boeing promised the airlines there would be minimal changes, there would be no additional simulator training, and put in a $1 million per plane provision that if at any time it was found that the airlines had to put their pilots through simulator training on the 737 MAX, Boeing would refund $1 million per plane. And I want you to remember that because it comes into play with what an FAA panel, the Flight Standardization Board, which is made up of some pilots and FAA insiders, industry experts, they decided this week. They reviewed the MAX 737 MAX stabilization system. They found the system to be operationally suitable, and they gave the approval for the for Boeing to begin training pilots on how the system works, but training them in a ground school using basically an iPad or a flight manual, and saying that no additional flight simulator training is required. Now, why do you think the FAA is jeopardizing the safety and well-being of passengers and flight crews alike with the 737 MAX by their asinine ruling saying, you don't need to go into a simulator, practice anything. Nope, just additional training on an iPad or a manual, just a written flight manual. Why do you think that is? Remember what I said. Boeing must stroke a check for $1 million for every 737 MAX, which requires pilots to go into the simulator for additional training, even if it's for 5 minutes. And a pilot cannot ascertain that information. I don't care how much you write, how in-depth it is on an iPad or in a written flight manual. There is nothing like experiencing it when you are in realistic conditions in a flight simulator. I know, because I train in a flight simulator for what I fly every 6 months. I've been in the Airbus 330 and A320 and Boeing 757 and 737 simulators. You can read about it in the book. It's different when it's happening in real time. It is outrageous for what the FAA's Flight Standardization Board determined. No additional training. That is in a simulator. That will come back to bite the FAA. Mark my words on that. Now, that doesn't mean that they've approved the changes Boeing made. That's not going to happen. You won't see that happen until August, September. You can be sure every worldwide aviation authority is going to follow up on that. But the FAA, once again, dereliction of duty, endangering passenger and crew welfare by not insisting that every pilot must undergo training in the flight simulator with the MCAS system once the MCAS is finally approved. To me, this reeks, absolutely reeks, all about the dollars, all about the money. Shame on Boeing, shame on the FAA, shame on every single person who has or will have blood on their hands if there, God forbid, is another 737 MAX accident. I think Boeing's going to scrub that airplane. Don't forget, if you remember the Cigar Dave Officers Club, the Hoyla Amistad vertical sampler consisting of a Hoyla Amistad Gold, a Hoyla Amistad Silver, and a Hoyla Amistad Black will be coming your way next week. A full-flavored series of cigars from General Cigar, the Hoyla Amistad Vertical Sampler. Join the Officers Club today, $22.95. You get three great cigars every month. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club, and they will come to you.
With an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy, it's time for National Cigar Litation Maneuvers.
In the second hour for our Cigar Masters Hour, we'll be joined by Alan Rubin of Alec Bradley Cigars, Lars Tettens of the eponymously named Lars Tettens Brands. We're going to be talking about the big announcement they had where Alec Bradley acquiring Lars Tettens Brands, the original infused oil and botanical cigars. So I'm going to do an abbreviated litation segment. I've got the Alec Bradley Tempest cigar. Love this cigar. It is an absolute beauty. In fact, I remember when Alan Rubin first gave me one about 12 years ago to sample. Beautiful Habano seed wrapper. Beautiful Honduran and Nicaraguan tobaccos. I'm going to cut the end of this cigar, and I'm going to use the old-fashioned cigar match. So I like the match here, and I will toast the foot of this cigar. Outstanding. Try puff and rotate. This is very nice. And as I do that, let me take my libation selection. For Passover, it is a tradition. Got to have the good old... We're not going top shelf today. Well, we are if you're talking about Manischewitz. We've got the Manischewitz Concord Grape Wine, a Passover tradition. It's like drinking candied grape juice. So I will say cheers, a happy Passover, and a happy Easter to all. Very nice. Very sweet. Definitely a taste contrast to this Alec Bradley Tempest, which is a nice medium plus cigar. Take a few more puffs. Nice, rich flavor, almost like a nutty complexion. Fantastic. When we come back, we'll be joined by Colonel Ange Puccio, the Pooch Pit, as we talk summer grilling preparation maneuvers.
This month's Cigar Dave Officers Club selection is a Hoya La Amistad sampler, including the Hoya La Amistad Black. This collaboration with A.J. Fernandez features an Ecuadorian Sumatra Oscuro wrapper that's peppered with Nicaraguan Habano filler and a Mexican San Andrean binder. Get cigars like these shipped directly to you every month by joining the Cigar Dave Officers Club today. Get details at CigarDave.com.
In 1964, José O. Padrón began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padrón cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padrón controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padrón family, it's called making great cigars. The Padrón lines include the Padrón 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padrón Traditional line. All Padrón cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padrón. For your Padrón retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padrón is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from?
Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta.
Uncle Bob, where did I come from?
You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227.
Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
Cowpokes will come from the near and far when you throw a few ribeyes on the bar. Roberta Durrani, two before a five.
Well, who doesn't love steak year-round? And especially summertime when the weather is warm, the grills are fired up, and there is nobody better to give us pointers on how to get our grills and our smokers ready for grilling season. And that is the great Colonel in charge of the Western New York Theater of Operations and the proprietor of the classified and highly secure Pooch Pit, Colonel Ange. Greetings, Colonel Ange. I know that spring, it is officially spring on the calendar, but you wouldn't necessarily know that in the Northeast and Midwest right about now, but there is hope around the corner.
Well, here we don't call it spring, General. We call it still winter.
This past week, Chicago had, I think the latest snowfall or the largest record snowfall this late in the season. It is incredible. Although I remember the week before I graduated from Syracuse in 1986, graduation was May 11th. The week before, early May, we had snow flurries in Syracuse. So it can happen.
Yep.
But the good news is that you are closer to warmer weather than to colder weather.
Yep, and we can't wait for that month to come here, General. We're very, very close.
Now, Colonel Ange, before we get into some grilling tips, how to get the grills ready and, you know, coming out of hibernation for the winter, a story really caught my attention. A well-known vegan restaurant in Buffalo in the Western New York Theater of Operations called Merge has officially closed as a full-scale restaurant, gone. They opened up, the owners opened up the vegan-friendly restaurant in 2009. So it was open for 10 years, but gone. And really, when you think about Buffalo chicken wings, and you think about Salem's hot dogs and other sorts of great sausage and meat products, Buffalo is not a vegan town. So on one hand, I say it's sad to see this restaurant go for the proprietors, but Buffalo runs on meat.
Well, General, I can tell you personally, I've never been a big fan of beets on Weck.
Yeah, we want the beef, that thinly sliced beef. Yeah, the au jus on beets on Weck, not so great. Not so great.
No,
well, Colonel Ange, I know that you do not, winter does not deter you in any way, shape, or form. But you are one of the few. You're one of the few, the brave. Most everyone else, they hibernate for the winter. They don't do any grilling. They do everything inside. So for those people, summer's soon upon us. Spring has sprung. It hasn't sprung yet, but it will very, very, very soon. So most people have a smoker. They have a grill, whether it's gas, charcoal. It's been sitting out there. It's been covered. So we need to know. We've got to get those grills ready for a summer of massive BTU grilling maneuvers. So give us the steps to properly get our grills and our smokers ready.
Well, why don't we start with some things to keep in mind in general. Then we can get into the specifics of cleaning a special grill. But first thing to do is to put your grill in a cleared area. You want to keep it away from buildings, from wooden fences, awnings, trees. If you have a gas grill on a deck, you want to buy a grill mat that covers an area larger than your grill. If you have a charcoal grill on your deck, I'll give you my phone number. It could only be a matter of time before you call and need the assistance of a local public adjuster. You got to keep
and
them
you
away.
And you can assist on that, Carlange.
Yes, no, yes, we can. Over the years, there's been quite a few bucks made through NFA for people to take the grill, put it close to a house, leave it unattended. Usually the grease trap catches on fire, and soon, lo and behold, your house is on fire. So keep it away. Ask Captain Paul about the melted siding on his garage where he kept his grill. It can do a lot of damage. So number one, put it someplace safe. Number two, especially with a charcoal grill, check the wind direction before you start your grilling. You can move it around. The embers will blow. Can start dried grass and get into a lightly colored mulch, start a fire. So also not only a safety issue, but the this will make sure you got an even cooking temperature. Wind can make a great big difference.
I was going to ask you one thing, Colonel Ange.
Yes.
Do people, you know, when it's been stored, the best way to clean your grill, the outside, the exterior from all the cobwebs and anything else that is accrued, just regular soap and water?
Yeah, regular soap and water. That's what I recommend. That's in all of my cleaning instructions when people call and ask me. The only difference is if you have a stainless steel grill. Stainless steel, you know, General, the Army One jet plane that you use, you got to use a stainless steel cleaner with a microfiber cloth to keep that in good shape. But other than that, soap and water.
All right, fantastic.
Remember, never light your gas or propane grill with the cover closed. Your grilling utensils, you should get these prepared. If you stored them underneath your grill, bring them inside, wash them, and get ready for the season. Get the bugs off of it. One thing to do as you're cooking through the season is to clean your grates immediately after cooking. Raise the heat up while it's pliable, while the food is still pliable. Get the heat up, clean them, and then shut the grill down. Make sure you have long-handled tongs, spatulas, and brushes to avoid burning your hands. Check the drip pan on a regular basis, especially if you're cooking a lot of fatty meats. Use a spray cleaner, rag and paper towels, wipe down your flat surfaces. Now, this is something you should be doing through the year, not just hauling them out. We can give you specifics of hauling them out in a bit. You want to make sure you clean around the knobs because grease can build up under there as well. You want to check for leaks at least twice a year. And if you don't have a cover for your grill, get one. It'll prolong the life. And if you don't use your grill in about a week, you want to take the cover off and wipe it down, wipe the grill down, keep the metal parts from rusting. And also what I do, too, is always check your fuel sources, your charcoal, your wood chips, your pellets. They should be in an airtight container like a trash can with a lid that snaps closed tight so that you're ready to go and your fuel source is dry. But as far as cleaning the grill, it's pretty specific how you should do it. And if you like, General, we could walk you through a few steps.
Absolutely.
Well, let's start with your natural gas or propane grill. This is the most prevalent grill in people's backyards. Here's what you need to set up. Get your tools ready. You need a stainless steel grill brush, a paint scraper, small wire brush. You need a bucket filled with warm and soapy water, rags, some cooking oil or spray, heavy-duty aluminum foil, grill gloves, garden hose, water source, and again, if you have stainless steel, you want that cleaner. So the first thing you need to do, okay, uncover that grill and inspect all the hoses for cracks and abrasions and leak check all your gas connections including your LP tanks. Now, what you do with this, of course, if a hose is cracked or split, the hose goes immediately. But you want to check for leaks. You take some soapy water, a little dish soap and water, and you dab it around all your connections. You turn the knobs of the grill off. You turn your gas on, and you look to see if bubbles form. If they do, you got a leak. If you have a leak, throw out the connection, throw out the hose. These aren't things that you want to repair. I mean, that's scary stuff. So number one, that's what you got to do with your gas grill.
Well, Colonel Ange, you do know the story about what happened at Cigar Mother Pierre's house a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
With the grill. Bought a gas grill. It's in-ground, natural gas. And my cigar sister Lynn was there grilling on a Saturday night. And the next thing you know, she starts seeing flames not only coming from the inside of the grill but from the outside. She immediately called the fire department. They came in. They extinguished everything. Turns out when the fire department did when they looked at what caused the fire, the hose was incorrectly installed. It's supposed to go kind of on the outside. They installed it kind of on the inside, so that rubber started melting away. Well, of course, she has to get a new grill, and, of course, XO Tim comes in and installs it properly, as you know, so that there is and secures it properly so there's no fire risk. But you always have to watch when it's installed, because we've seen this story many times where people get a grill installed, gas grill, propane, and it's not installed properly, and down the road, may not happen immediately, but a few years down the road, it leads to problems. So very, very important that even when the grill is installed, always check, ask questions, make sure the installer does it right without any shortcuts.
Yeah, that has to be done. And in just our close circle, General, there's been two, Cigar Sister and Colonel Kurt had the same problem. They installed his. They ran the hoses under his deck, and the one hose came up too close to the bottom of his gas grill. Had the same problem. Looked outside and saw that his deck and his grill were on fire.
That is not good.
No, no.
Not pleasant. Not a pleasant ending, as they say.
No, not a pleasant ending. And that's why I say that's the most important thing. Before you do anything, you want to check those connections. Okay, and then the next thing you want to do is there's a drip pan in your grill. Get that drip pan out. Go get a bucket. Put that underneath. That's going to start collecting everything, all the debris. And put that in place. Get the grates off of the grill. Now, the way I clean them for the semi-annual cleaning, I mean, you can clean them every day. But if you've got them and it's been sitting and you didn't clean it when you put the grill away in the fall, you want to take the grates out. I wrap them in heavy-duty aluminum foil, okay? Put them back in position. All the burners on high, 15, 20 minutes, okay? Turn off your heat. Disconnect the fuel source. Here's where you need your grill gloves. You want to take the grill gloves and some tongs. You want to quickly unwrap the grates, get them in position. And now you're going to take your grill brush, dip that in warm soapy water, and start working on the grates. The water will help steam. That will also help get the debris off the grates. Get them scrubbed down really well. When they're done with the brush, make sure you've got a clean rag, because what you want to do is get any of the grease off, but also be sure there's no bristles from the brush on the grates. Take the grates, set them aside. And here's a step most people don't do, and you really should. Most propane gas grills have heat deflectors. They usually lift right out. Take them out. Use your brush, soapy water, clean them off, get the debris, set those aside. Easy stuff. Probably the most complicated and the last thing, if they ever do, people ever do, is clean the actual gas tubes.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Simpson University is pleased to announce that its annual golf tournament is on April 26th at Goat Hills Golf Club. Join the rise at Simpson University, known as Simpson Rising, by joining or sponsoring this wonderful event. You can register or sponsor online at connect.simpsonu.edu/springgolf or call 530-226-4750. You can enter for a chance to win an Apple Watch, television, barbecue, and much, much more. So join us on April 26th at Gold Hills Golf Club for the Simpson Rising Pepsi Invitational.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Season.
You are good to go. All right, when we come back with Colonel Ange, we'll talk about some basic grilling items that can be cooked, because let's face it, you can't get into something extravagant. You got to work your way in to the hard stuff. So steak, dogs, burgers, but it's amazing how many people screw it all up. So we will continue talking summer grilling preparation maneuvers with Colonel Ange as we continue around the corner.
The General is always on Twitter, delivering breaking news, giving you the latest intel on cigars, and battling the enemies of pleasure. Chat with the General now at Cigar Dave Show.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to cigarrights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, cigarrights.org.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club is the premier opportunity for you to experience fantastic cigars shipped to you every month. A beautiful variety of cigars, whether it's mild, medium, full, from various countries. And the April 2019 Officers Club selection is loaded with full-bodied flavor. We are featuring the Hoyo La Amistad Vertical Sampler. La Amistad, or the Friendship, translated from Spanish to English, is a unique Nicaraguan collaboration between General Cigar and A.J. Fernandez. Three great cigars, all full body: the Hoya La Amistad Gold, the Hoya La Amistad Silver, and the Hoya La Amistad Black, all full flavored, all uniquely different. Join the Cigar Dave Officers Club today and get great cigars delivered to you like the Hoya La Amistad Vertical Sampler. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club. $22.95 per month gets you the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. Join now the Cigar Dave Officers Club.
Hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes.
The General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2. Beta males run on tofu. Alpha males run on meat. Steak, cigars, and Cigar Dave, the trifecta of pleasure.
You can have a great beef dinner in no time at all. Well, almost no time at all. Beef. It's what's for dinner.
Outstanding. And it's pretty easy when Colonel Ange is doing all the cooking. You just show up and Colonel Ange does all the work. Just the way that Private G and Mrs. Colonel Ange just show up for dinner and everything is magically ready to go.
It's a beautiful thing.
Well, for them it is, not for you, Colonel Ange. You're doing all the work.
Nah, well, you know, it's all about what work is, right? You know, I love to be out there, General.
That's correct. You light up, favorite La Gloria Cubana. You've got a little libation. You're good to go.
It's absolutely right. That's where you'll find me.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about easing into making some fine delicacies on the grill. Easiest thing, hamburgers and hot dogs, yet I can't tell you how many times I've gone to barbecues where the gentleman or the lady cooking overcooks them, and they're dry. They're like eating my dog's kibble.
Yeah, well, you know, in almost all forms of cooking, but especially in grilling, that's the cardinal sin, and it's committed almost everywhere all the time. There's a right way to do it, and the right way to do it is don't play with the food. Let's start with a hamburger, okay? If you're going to make – I love to make my own, grind the meat, get them a little bit thicker. But, you know, that's fine. You want to go to the local market and you want to pick up a pack of hamburgers, that's great. But take a look at how thick these burgers are. And if they're really thin burgers, they're going to cook up pretty quick. You're going to have a burger in 5 minutes. And I mean 5 minutes if it's one of those thin burgers on your grill. You know, burgers you want to cook on medium-high heat. You only want to turn them once. I mean, I know people love to see the check and the double-check grill marks, but the more times you sit and work on those things, the bigger chance you have of messing them up. So it's a thin burger. Throw it on there. Put it on medium-high heat. Lay it down. Wait till you see the moisture in the side that you're looking at come up. Okay, there'll be a little bit of moisture. The pink will start to go away, but before the pink disappears, flip it. Flip it quick. You're going to do on a thin burger maybe 3 minutes one side and then 2 minutes the other, and it's off. Now, if you make them thicker like I do, an inch and a half, you need a little bit more cooking time. But I can tell you, even with the thickest burgers I make, they're off the grill in under 10 minutes.
And I've taken that to heart, Colonel Ange, when doing steaks and burgers, because I used to flip it umpteen times. I do not do that anymore. For, you know, grilling burgers, just like you said, keep it one side, and then I'll flip it over, and it's ready to go. Nice, medium, rare, or medium, depending on how people want them. So burgers and dogs, you can't go wrong. And, of course, when you've got the Salins, those nice charred, extra charred, you got to keep sticking the fork in there to let that thing breathe. Now let's talk about moving up to a steak. There's multiple ways to do a steak. Easiest way to do a steak to try to get that nice char, Pittsburgh style, on that piece of meat.
Well, the easiest way is with a cast iron skillet. There's no better way to get a nice char all the way across. Get yourself a cast iron skillet. I'll tell you what, you can buy a 12-inch Lodge skillet that'll last you two lifetimes for $25. Put that on the grill. get that grill scorching hot as you can. And what I do, of course, is on you want to get a two heat, one on high heat. You get another section on the grill and medium heat. Put the pan down. Get that pan scorching hot. It only needs a tiny bit of oil. Lay that steak in the screaming hot pan. You let it go for, you know, if you got an inch and a half steak, minute and a half, maybe. Two at the longest. Flip it. Do the same thing on the other side. And what I do is I take it out of the pan. I move it over to the other side where there's a lower heat and let it finish cooking over there. I mean, a two-inch steak is still not going to take you more than, honestly, 10 minutes, 12 at best. Take it off. If you're nervous about it or if you're unsure about it, the most accurate way to know that your steak is done is with an instant read thermometer. Don't put it in from the top down. Take your tongs, lift that steak up, run the thermometer into the side of the steak, get it into the middle. If you're looking for medium rare, take it off at about 120 degrees. It'll raise up that other five, get you 125. You'll have a perfect steak.
I'll tell you, there's nothing more delicious than a medium rare Pittsburgh style juicy steak off the grill, soft like butter, delicious. So burgers, hot dogs, steak. If that's the only three things you make this summer, you're in good shape. Down the road, Colonel Ange, we'll get into some of the more intricate ribs, beer can chicken, some of the other items. But Colonel Ange, we appreciate you giving us summer grilling preparation maneuver tips. And I can't wait to see you up in the Western New York Theater of Operations at the Pooch Pit. Hour number two of the Cigar Dave Show comes your way next.
Get ready for a sock-hop of nostalgia and muscle cars when American Graffiti roars onto the Cascade Theater's big screen during cool April nights. With live music, dancing, themed drinks, a jewelry giveaway from Devon's, and more surprises. April 24th. Doors open at 6, film at 7:30. It's a cruise down memory lane with the ultimate coming-of-age film, American Graffiti, at the Cascade. Tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
The 25th annual Safari Club International Banquet is almost here. Join friends, neighbors, and outdoor enthusiasts on April 27th at Wind River. Enjoy a great meal and numerous silent and live auction items, including a 25th anniversary commemorative rifle, guns, outdoor equipment, and a table of special prizes for the ladies. The Safari Club International's 25th annual banquet. For more information, call 474-5075. That's 474-5075. Safari Club International's 25th annual banquet.
Hour says the angry reactions to the Mueller report by Democrats harken back to the last presidential election.
On the left, there was an almost certain feeling in 2016 that they would win the presidency again and they would finish the job of transforming America to be something quite different than a country being based on the principles it was founded on.
Meanwhile, Bauer, president of the conservative group American Values, adds there is growing evidence authorities may soon get to the bottom of how and why surveillance was begun on then-candidate Donald Trump and his campaign. People took time off this Saturday to visit a memorial to the 13 people killed at Columbine High School 20 years ago today. Correspondent Mike Gracia recounts the events.
It was April 20th, 1999, 11:15 a.m., when the first shots were fired. A killing rampage at Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado was underway. Two teenage boys dressed in black trench coats shot and killed 12 classmates and a teacher and wounded two dozen others before taking their own lives. The stunning attack shocked the community and the nation. At a memorial service 3 days later, Pastor Barry Palzer sounded anguished.
We have planted the seeds of godlessness
and we are reaping the harvest today.
I'm Mike Gracia.
California Pacific Gas and Electric is replacing 10 of its 13 board members. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Restricting free speech is restricting truth. The far left has crossed a line, silencing conservatives across America. Shadow banning on Twitter, Facebook, blocked ads on YouTube, restricted searches on Google. Prager University, why isn't it fully available everywhere? All of these are direct attacks on our First Amendment rights. It's time for conservative America to wake up. You have a choice. You can fight back with veteran-led PatriotMobile.com, America's only conservative cell phone company. Every phone call protects your constitutional rights. Every bill that you pay fights for your freedom. Get the same reliable nationwide coverage you already have and know that your hard-earned money is supporting conservative organizations like the Heritage Foundation, PragerU, and Alliance Defending Freedom. With plans starting as low as $25 a month, why wait? Call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Use the word Hugh or visit patriotmobile.com/Hugh to waive your activation fee. We will not be silent. Join me and thousands of Americans. Switch to Patriot Mobile today and let freedom ring.
A temple central to the Mormon Church will close for 4 years for a major renovation to help it withstand earthquakes and be more welcoming to visitors.
The Salt Lake Temple will close December 29th to update the granite building and surrounding square. When the project is done in 2024, the religion will host an open house to give outsiders the first glimpse of the 126-year-old temple's interior in more than a century. Only church members in good standing can go inside the building used for marriages and other religious ceremonies. Mormons are considered a cult by Christians, and their temple practices have nothing to do with the New Testament. Patrick Voss reporting.
The Washington Post says discussions between Facebook and Federal Trade Commission officials about the company's data handling lapses have touched on instituting some sort of oversight for company CEO Mark Zuckerberg, who controls a majority of Facebook's voting stock and has run the company since starting it in Harvard in 2004. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A British cybersecurity researcher credited with stopping a worldwide computer virus back in 2017 has pleaded guilty to developing malware to steal banking information.
Federal prosecutors in Wisconsin and Marcus Hutchins' attorney said in a filing on Friday that the 24-year-old is pleading guilty to developing the malware and conspiring to distribute it between 2012 and 2015. Hutchins said in a statement he regrets his actions and takes full responsibility. His arrest back in 2017 came just months after he was praised for finding a kill switch to the WannaCry virus that had crippled computers worldwide. Bob Agnew reporting.
A global team of experts next week will begin reviewing how the Boeing 737 MAX's flight control system was approved by the FAA. The agency says experts from 9 international civil aviation authorities confirmed participation in a technical review of the jetliner. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Into the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The Cigar and Pleasure Friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up.
up a cigar, pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
The Alpha Male pleasure maneuvers continue on this Passover and Easter holiday weekend. Happy Passover. Happy Easter to all. As the head of the CIA, the Cigar Intelligence Agency, we have our spy satellites that are constantly in motion, trying to ascertain the latest intel in the world of cigars. So imagine my surprise just over a week ago when I received a classified communique from Jonathan Lipson at Alec Bradley Cigars informing me that Alec Bradley Cigars and Alan Rubin, the president and owner of Alec Bradley Cigars, had acquired Lars Tetten's brands. Now, if you are a relatively recent cigar connoisseur, say the last 5, 10, 15, even really 18, 20 years, you may not be familiar with the Lars Tetten's name. But Lars Tetten's was huge in the world of cigars for many years, even before the cigar renaissance that occurred around 1994, 1995, 1996. The original creator of the herbal and botanical infused cigars. They were so hot, so popular, could not get them. Retailers were clamoring for them. Consumers wanted them, patiently waited for them. One of the hottest names in cigars, and they were not inexpensive, even at the time. And then they went away. Gone. Well, when I received the information earlier, or about a week ago, just over a week ago, that Alec Bradley Cigars and Alan Rubin had acquired the Lars Tetten's brands, I immediately said to myself, I've got to get both men on because both men I know very well and have some great stories about Lars Tetten's. So it is my pleasure to welcome to our Cigar Dave Show microphones and Command Center Alpha, Alan Rubin, the founder of Alec Bradley Cigars, and Lars Tetten's of the eponymously named Lars Tetten's Brands. First up, Alan, great to have you with us. Same with you, Lars.
Dave, it's been a long time. I miss you, brother, and great to be talking with you again.
Well, now you won't have to miss me since you're back in the world of cigars.
That's right, baby.
If I just want to say first and foremost, that is a fantastic intro that you have, your introduction. It's somewhere between kind of like a Tucker Carlson meets the Sonny and Cher show. It's got,
listen, I got you, babe, Alan. Okay. All right. This is entertainment. This is Hollywood, baby. All right, Alan.
It's working.
Hey, Alan, it's worked for 24 years. So gotta keep doing it. What were you saying, Lars?
I have Alessandra sitting next to me, so it's kind of like the Sonny and Cher show.
There you go. So, Alan, let's talk about, first of all, I've got a great Lars story that I'm going to save for a little bit later, a few more minutes, about how we first got introduced and how we met and a great evening that we shared. But, Alan, let's talk about this because Lars Tetten's, big, big name, you I think started Alec Bradley, what, maybe is it 15 years, 17 years, something like that?
I actually incorporated in 96, but we really sold our first cigar in 1999.
Thanks for being so quick on that answer, Alan. We appreciate that. You're really right on top of it today.
I know you're into details there. No big deal.
All right, so you've been around for a while. So tell me how you and Lars first hook up. Before we even get into how this whole deal transpired, how did you meet Lars?
You know, I'm not sure the exact year, but somewhere around 12, 13, 14 years ago, you know, I had been a fan of Lars actually from before I got into the cigar business. But once I was in, I was just a huge fan of Lars's creativity. If you follow him, you know that the guy is an amazing artist. His works sell for thousands of, you know, I don't want to say hundreds of thousands. I don't know the range, but they're up there, and his artwork. He's a chef. His leatherworks line, his leather goods line is unbelievable. Some of the best in the world. So he's truly a creative savant. I was just always a fan of his creativity. And like I said, somewhere between 12 and 14 years ago, I called a mutual friend up in the Northeast and said, hey, can you set up a meeting with Lars? I'd love just to get to know him and talk to him. And so we set up a meeting at a little tobacconist in Pennsylvania. And they had asked, well, what time do you want to meet? And I said, like, let's meet at 8 p.m. or 8:30. And Lars said 11. I was told back 11. So we went to the store at 11. 11 comes, Lars isn't there. 12, not there. 1 o'clock, Lars still isn't there. 2 o'clock in the morning, Lars shows up, knocks on the back door, opens it up, unloads his car, and pulls out a crock pot and makes me lobster mac and cheese like I've never had in my life. Just spectacular. And we spoke till early in the morning. And it was just he was just everything I thought he would be. He's honest and he's humble. And he's definitely the most interesting guy that I know. And there was just a mutual respect for one another. And we've always kind of kept in touch and been tight throughout each other's careers. And, you know, ultimately one thing led to the other recently.
But I love Alan. Alan and I just had a kinship when we first met. We were very, very close. And I had a lot of major cigar companies want to acquire me. And the only person I really, at the end of the day, who got me, understood me, was Alan. And also, he was had, you know, his two sons that are coming up, Alec and Bradley. And they're great guys. And it was more like a family, and that's really what I wanted to be part of, is that kind of family business. That's what I've always liked doing throughout my life, doing my businesses. If you can't have fun and enjoy your business and enjoy what you do, you know, it becomes a difficult, arduous thing to go through this life.
All right, now, many people, ours, may not be familiar with you, your cigars, so let's give a brief background, brief introduction, because you are multi-talented. Alan talked about your culinary skills, also an artist. I remember you were kind enough to give me a beautiful work of art, cigars. So give us an idea of Lars Tettens for those that may not be familiar with who you are.
Well, I don't know. I'm just a dude who likes to make stuff, and I like making things. That's what I like doing. And I like creating. And when I see something that's interesting, I like to get involved. I started smoking cigars when I was very young. And I started making cigars in 1979. And I just continued to rock on with that. And I really investigated where the origins of cigar making came from, as far back as we could find them. And as far back as over 6,000 years ago, there were, you know, stone cylinder molds for cigars in Venezuela over 6,000 years ago. And also statues of women tribal leaders smoking cigars over 6,000 years ago. So, you know, I studied that ancient way of making the cigars and tried to incorporate it into what I do today.
So, Alan, you and Lars develop a friendship over 12, 13 years. Was it ever broached at the time that you should both work together, or that you were interested in acquiring the Lars Tettens brands and some of his unique blends?
No. You know, we'd never really talked about that. But, you know, Lars was and still remains very successful in some of the other, you know, stuff that he's into. You know, this is a guy who created skateboards, you know, skateboard decks that are collector's items now. They go for a lot of money, I know, because I bought one before this ever happened. And, you know, I've seen magazines in Europe with his, you know, paintings. So I knew he was doing all these other ventures. And so I never really brought up doing something in the cigar business together. But, you know, I think as our friendship just continued to grow and just become stronger, and, you know, we kind of talked about what he had gone through, because he had somebody that helped, and he'll tell you more about it, but, you know, manage his business with him. And I thought he was just focused on other things, you know, so I never really talked about it. And then somewhere, I guess, just over a year ago, maybe a little more than that, we just started talking about, you know, we've always kind of wanted to do something together. And what happened was I actually approached him and said, I've always been a fan of yours and creativity. You know, you were the originator of doing these type of conditioned cigars, and, you know, you were so wildly popular. Why don't you spend more time in the cigar business? And even though he's still in it, he was never out of it.
Our stuff that was the bigger sellers were always, and we never really touched on them, were some of the most expensive sticks that sell for like anywhere from $60 to $180 a cigar. And those never stopped selling. They were always very, very sought after sticks all over the world.
Yeah. L. Rubin of Alec Bradley Cigars, Lars Tettens of Lars Tettens Brands, our guests. Big announcement in the world of cigars just over a week ago. Alec Bradley acquiring Lars Tettens Brands. So, Lars, tell us about how you got started in the cigar industry, because you started way before the cigar boom in 1994, 1995.
Right. Well, I was smoking cigars when I was really young, and I started... there's a place called Jack's Oyster House in Albany, New York. And back then, that was in the days where you could smoke cigars right in the restaurant. So when I was just a young kid, I was smoking cigars, having lunch, and I was doing business out there. And I was like, it just fascinated me. And in New York, there was a place on 29th Street and a place on 30th Street. On 29th, there was like, it's called Five Brothers Kenya, I think it was called. And one of the rollers there, Antonio Martinez, who now his son owns that place, Antonio started teaching me how to roll cigars. And then Sanchez, who was on 30th, he taught me how to roll cigars. So both of them were teaching me how to roll cigars at the same time. And it was really funny because I would roll cigars in Five Brothers Kenya, and nobody knew who I was. They just called me White Boy. And at one point, they were selling the cigars with just a little cardboard sign saying White Boy Cigars.
Right.
That blend, when I was only, you know, a young kid, that blend in 1979 was the one that they sold the most of. And then I made another blend at Sanchez. And Sanchez used to come over to the bundles of cigars I'd roll. He'd pick one up, smoke it, and he'd say, oh, these are terrible. And he'd pick up all the cigars I rolled, threw them in the garbage. And as soon as he would walk out of the room, the manager would come over, grab all those cigars, and put them in the little container to sell, and then tell the people that those were the ones that blended. And those ended up becoming the best-selling cigars in this place. So they ended up using my blends. So,
Lars, what was your motivation to create the first really herbal and oil-infused and conditioned cigars? Because you were the first. There's been other... cigars along the way, but you were the creator. What was your motivation to do that?
Well, it really came from being inspired from the ancient way of conditioning tobacco that goes back into Venezuela over 6,000 years ago. And when I learned about that, I tried to develop it, and I studied a lot about different kinds of essences. And my whole art is kind of the art of the senses. So when I'm making a leather bag, I want the bag to be beautiful when you look at them, but also when you touch them, to be soft to feel or firm in the construction, depending on what kind of practical use you're using this for. So practicality and softness or hardness to the touch, depending on what you're going to be using it for, or the practical usefulness of it, it was always something that was important to me. Music, which I've been doing for a long time. I started doing rap music with CBS Records back, right around the same time, early 80s, before it was even called rap, when it was only called MCing. And originally I started doing that because I was DJing and I didn't want to hire a hype man because I was too cheap. So I was like, I can do this myself. I started doing it myself, and that ended up becoming rap music.
I was going to ask you, Lars, give us some of the names of your cigars way back. I mean, it was Lars Tettens Brands, but I know there were some unique names that you had as well within your different lines.
Sure. Well, we had Fat Cigars, and that was like, one of our big starting brands that we were doing back in the day. So, that was, and then you know, in those cigars, there was a whole other line, like the Shorty. A lot of other cigar companies tried to come out with, like, copying my name. In fact, they did copy the Shorty. A bunch of other cigar companies did. But I don't even know if they understood what the Shorty meant. You know, it was a rap terminology. At Fat Cigars, that was a PHAT. That was like a hip-hop thing. So, you know, my whole kind of thing in the cigar world came from that hip-hop culture and the rap culture. So a lot of people did. And also my Japanese training, like Akagashi. So I don't know if you want me to tell you what that means. That's always
Alan,
been one of our...
Right, Alan, let me ask, how did this all come about where you and Lars decided that, okay, this would be a great fit? What was the impetus? Was it something that just struck you, or was it just kind of a slow process where you said, you know, maybe we'd like to expand, do something a little different, here's an opportunity, and tell us how this deal all came about.
Well, ultimately, David, started with our friendship. You know, a lot of trust of one another. I started thinking about, you know, what Lars brings to the table in terms of creativity and his style, something that we didn't have here at Alec Bradley. And I think Lars was on his own thinking, well, Alec, you know, Alec Bradley has an operation. You know, the brand is out there worldwide. Distribution is worldwide. Very customer centric with all of our territory managers who really understand what we do. And we talked a lot about, you know, integrity and kind of do something together where we can best benefit one another. And I really just wanted to sit with Lars and say, hey, look, I think you and what you did for the industry and everything that was built around your brand, I'd love to bring that back. And so we were able to structure a deal that, you know, Lars and I are partners, and Lars is going to do what he does best, which is be Lars, you know, be the creator and be the creative. And we have an opportunity to support that and give, you know, give worldwide distribution and a lot of support between the entire Alec Bradley team and now Lars as a creative.
Alan Rubin of Alec Bradley Cigars and Lars Tettens of Lars Tettens Brands are guests here on the Cigar Dave Show, our Cigar Masters Hour. Lars, let me bring up how you and I first met. I don't know if you will recall this story. It was around 1998. I was doing a live show from the Tinderbox in Buffalo. That was before we did our big giant Alpha Male Pleasure Fests with you know, big stage and a huge crew. It was pretty rudimentary way back then. And you had heard that I was going to be coming up, and I think at the time you were living around Albany or Utica, somewhere in that neck of the woods. You called me up and said, hey, I'd like to pop over. And I said, absolutely, would love to have you on the show. So you drove over, and we had you on the show. And then afterwards, you said, look, let's go to dinner tonight. Let's go to one of the best restaurants in town. What is it? And I said, well, Lord Chumley's is great. You can't go wrong. They're no longer open. We went to Lord Chumley's. And do you remember what happened at Lord Chumley's that night, Lars?
Yeah, my usual. Ordered pretty much everything on the menu.
Correct. The waitress comes over and said, okay, everybody ready to order? And you were sitting at the head of the table. I was sitting next to you. There's maybe a dozen other people. And you said, yeah, we're ready to order. We're going to have one of everything on the menu. And the waitress kind of looked and then kind of laughed, thinking, ha-ha, very funny. And I did the same thing. And you said, no, I'm serious. I want one of everything on the menu. Appetizer, hors d'oeuvre, entree. There must have been about 18 entrees on the menu, maybe a dozen appetizers. And the manager came over about 2 minutes later and said, let me get this straight. You want one of everything? You're sure? And you said, yeah, no, absolutely. That's what we want. And over about 3 hours, they kept bringing one of everything. And it was a wonderful evening. But never in my life, at that, theretofore and thereafter, has that ever occurred? So that's, as soon as I saw this, I said, oh, do I have a great Lars Tettens story? And we had a great evening that night. And afterwards, we smoked some great Lars Tettens cigars, had some great libations, and a lot of great camaraderie. And we have to do it again.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see you down in Florida. Yeah, it was awesome. It was a great time that night. It was definitely a lot of fun. And the show was great, too. The radio show was funny. Remember, I kept talking about keeping my pin pants strong?
No, I remember. We had a fantastic, and there were people that were thrilled because at the time I think you were selling cigars at the Tinderbox, and I think at the time they came out and said, "We need more. We need more of your cigars." And that was Lars, pretty much the biggest complaint people had about your cigars. Not the quality, not the taste, not even the price, because they were very expensive. The biggest complaint consumers and retailers had, "We need more."
Well, that's the beautiful thing about Alan and this relationship, is Alan's going to really handle that part of the business and make sure that everybody's happy.
Right. The production is going to be, well, I know Alan, and Alan likes to sell cigars, so he will be, I can tell you, I'm sure that he will be on top of production, and we'll get to that because we have another half hour remaining. Yeah, go ahead real quick.
Yeah, I'm going to Nicaragua soon to be able to set up the production, and, you know, I'll still be managing all the quality control and the production of it, so it'll still be the great quality that we've always been doing, and it's only going to get better.
Outstanding. So Alan Rubin and Lars Tettens join us today. Big announcement in the world of cigars just over a week ago that Alec Bradley Cigars acquiring Lars Tettens Brands. And when we come back, we will talk about the plans, because many of those same initial brands, they are protected under the FDA, what they call predicate rules. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what they have up their sleeve, how they're going to recreate those incredible cigars that Lars launched way, way back and were ever so popular going into the big cigar renaissance from 93, 94, 95, 96, 97. We'll continue our conversation on our Cigar Masters Hour around the corner.
The General is now on Instagram. Follow him for pictures of the latest cigars, libations, and what he's enjoying during the show.
That could be interesting, and we'll have to block out some faces.
Go to Instagram and search Cigar Dave.
Hi, this is Rocky Patel. If you're a beginner, or if you just enjoy a great mild cigar like I do in the morning, I suggest you try the Vintage 99. This 7-year-old Connecticut wrapper delivers a creamy, mild, smooth flavor. It's very, very balanced on your palate, and it absolutely is delightful. Tons of flavor, a perfect draw, and an incredible ash. This cigar is smooth. It will entice you to enjoying more and more of the Vintage 99s. It's just a nice, great, balanced, smooth cigar. Look for it, the oldest Connecticut shape in the market today. I'm Rocky Patel, and I promise you, nobody works harder than we do to make you a great quality cigar. Come visit us at RockyPatel.com.
Surgeon General warning, cigar smoking can cause cancer and heart disease.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
The foremost authority on cigars, spirits, diversions, and the good life. The General Cigar Dave.
As I enjoy my Alec Bradley Tempest Natural Magnus, nice big cigar, 6 inches in length, 58 ring gauge. Perfect time to reintroduce our guest, Alan Rubin of Alec Bradley Cigars, Lars Tettens of the eponymously named Lars Tettens Brands. Alan, I selected this cigar today, the Alec Bradley Tempest, the natural, because knowing you were going to be coming on, as well as Lars, and there are no Lars Tettens cigars available, and I don't even have one remaining in my humidor. It goes that far back.
Sorry about that, Dave.
I can tell you one thing. I'm not going to have that problem down the road, correct, Alan?
No, you won't.
That is correct. I was going to say, my job is to make sure that we do the right thing by Lars's, by the brand and, by his name, but get the product back to the people.
And do it with great quality. And I know you will, Alan. And that brings me to this great story. Do you remember when you first gave me what was going to be Tempest to try? Got to be, I don't know, 10 years ago?
I do remember. It was probably more like 12 years ago.
It could be. We were at lunch. We went to a cigar-friendly lunch spot not far from Alec Bradley World Headquarters down in Fort Lauderdale. You pull out these cigars. We were with Ralph Montero, your vice president, and George Sosa, Master Chief George Sosa, your VP of sales. You pull out in a plastic bag these cigars, no band, nothing. And I said, "What is it?" He said, just shut up and smoke it, which I did. I lit it up, and I said, "Man, this is great. What is it?" "This is going to be called Alec Bradley Tempest," you told me, which is Latin for time. I said, "Great. When's it going to be coming out?" And you said, "Probably 6 months to a year." Well, what I didn't realize was that, Alan, you were either on Cuban or Jewish time with Tempest, not Latin time, because I think it was, what, about five more years till it finally came out?
it was a little bit of time, but, truly it was – we knew the blend, we knew what we wanted to do, but we needed to, have enough tobacco to be able to bring it into productions, and that's really what we were waiting for. But even at that time, Dave, I'd never hand you a cigar that I wasn't proud of, whether it had our, name on it or not. If we blended it, it's something that I'd be proud of, obviously. And
right.
I knew we had something on that blend.
Oh, absolutely.
The second that we put it together, I knew we had something.
Totally. And I said to you, I said, "Alan, this is great. I can't wait till this comes out." And every time I'd see you, "Hey, when's Tempest coming out?" You're like, "We're working on it. We're getting there." And it finally came out. And when it did come out, I said, "Boy, you did it right." And you told me right from the get-go. You said, "I'm not going to release this cigar unless it's 100% correct, the blend is right, The tobacco's aged. The construction is right. And you know, talk about time. You, as they say, you can't rush the hands of time. You didn't. And that's why Tempest, I think, has been undisputably one of your biggest hits. And since that time, you know, you've added line extensions to Tempest, between the Tempest Nicaragua, which is, you know, a fantastic cigar. Can't go wrong with that. You got the Tempest Natural. But you've really done right by that cigar. Same thing with Mundial. That was another cigar that you gave me, and it took you a while to get it out. But once it came out, home run.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Dave.
So, Alan, let's
talk about
the... That's
the one thing also that I really always thought that Alan did great. Everything that he came out with was superior quality products. There are a lot of other cigar companies were trying to come into the game and trying to do what Alan actually did, but very few people could actually come up with that consistency and quality.
Agree, and that's a perfect seg into the future of Lars Tetten's brands. The cigars that were the original herbal-infused, oil-infused, and conditioned cigars now are going to be coming back. So, Alan, let's talk about that process, because you made the announcement, but I would assume it's going to be the cigars are not ready unless you're going to give me a surprise and say, yep, we're ready to release them. We've been working on this for a while. But first of all, is that the case?
No, that is not the case. I have to tell you that just sourcing some of these exotic botanicals that Lars requires is an exercise in itself. So we work diligently on that, all with Lars' approval. You know, organic. All organic materials. I mean, his specifications and quality controls are top notch. And so just sourcing that has been tough, but we've been able to do it with Lars's assistance. And being able to buy the quantities that we need to be able to bring full production into the market. So.
And also, Alan knows from just being behind the scenes on this, which we're not going to reveal everything, of course. But he knows why those cigars are expensive. Am I right, Alan?
I know now that I made the investment, Lars, yes.
That's right. So the cost of making them, the ingredients that I use are only the highest quality products, all organic, super high quality, and they are very, very expensive.
Well, and so give us the process. So, Alan, have you secured all the tobacco for the initial lines?
Yeah, So, knowing that Lars and I were heading in this direction, months ago, I actually purchased a lot of the tobacco already. We've been putting it through our processes, you know, getting everything in the proper fermentations and where we need it in the proper sortings so that we would be ready for production when the deal finalized.
And so, you've also sourced the herbs, the oils, all the unique products that go to condition these cigars to give it that unique Lars Tetten's taste, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so give us a timetable. Is the tobacco fermenting right now? Is that aging, or is it aged and ready to go?
It all depends. You know, Lars requires a lot of different tobaccos for his, you know, for his blends. But I can tell you this, that on the blends that we're doing, they all go back to his original blends. Nothing has changed there in terms of the tobaccos. All his formulations are going back to the original from when he started. The one thing Lars was fantastic about was keeping notes as to what tobaccos were used and the proportions of which they were used. So it took time. I knew that the deal was heading in the right direction. So I would say I somewhat took a flyer, but not really, because we knew the deal was going forward. But we went out, had to source by Lars the specifications, the tobaccos that he needed, and like you said, the herbs and the oils and the botanicals, all to his quality controls, you know, specifications. And we did that. So
it's going to be amazing. There's not. Yeah. We're literally. It's not going to be just as
good as the original, we're going to do it even better. It's going to be incredible. Some of the best cigars that I'll be coming out with will be our partnership together. It's going to be amazing.
I can tell you this, too, very quickly, is that, you know, if you look at Lars's artwork on his cigar rings, we're going back to all the original artworks. You know what I'm saying? Even though Lars has moved forward without, you know, through his career and made some artwork changes and on his, even his, one of his main rings, his cigar rings that he uses, we're going back to what made him so prominent to begin with.
And that's what I was going to ask you next is, are you going to retain the original packaging, the boxes, the artwork, the labels? And the answer obviously is yes. So Alan, give us a timetable when cigar connoisseurs and consumers will start to see the relaunched Lars Tettens cigars in the marketplace.
Let me just make one small change in what you had just said. So the original rings, the original cigar bands, those were going to utilize that same artwork. But in terms of the cigar box itself, that packaging, there's going to be some modification there, because as Lars has evolved as an artist, he's going to do some wickedly creative stuff. But we're probably, you know, that will be distinctly Lars, but that part's probably going to be newer in terms of what it is on the outside packaging. But everything on the inside will remain original.
One of the beautiful things about the new boxes is you're going to be able to take the box. There'll be one of my paintings on the inside of the box. You'll be able to take it like a box frame and hang, after you take the cigars out, you'll be able to literally hang that on your wall as a piece of art.
Interesting. So what is the timetable, Alan? When will they start to see these cigars?
We're working pretty diligently now. I would say that we will introduce product back into the market before the end of this year for sure. We'll probably have some original samples maybe towards the trade show in the summer. We're working on that, but we have to see, make sure that everything is right before we do that. And then, we'll be ready. I mean, full production will be ready. I think what we're finding now is, since the announcement came out, we've already had a tremendous amount of support. People asking us if they can order now sight unseen. We've heard some amazing success stories with the Lars brand over the years. So the reach out has been spectacular for us. And, you know, what we don't want to do is we don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. And my concern right now is that I don't think we're going to be able to keep up with the demand, but I don't think we're going to try to either. I think we're going to stay with what we do best. We know our production capabilities and our capacities, and we're going to stick within that. We'll ramp up over time, but based on just the initial reaction from the supporters, from our brick-and-mortar tobacconists and even the online internet catalog guys, you know, we're going to do everything we can to get everybody some.
Lars, will you be more involved on appearances and being a brand ambassador, going out to various events more than you were prior,
yeah,
back to 20-some-odd years ago?
I'm going to be doing both things. So I never really did – I didn't really travel around and go to cigar stores back in the day. There was just a handful of friends that owned cigar stores that I would go and see and some kind of events like that. But I am going to be going out and visiting cigar stores and doing that. But I also am going to be in Nicaragua setting up the production and overseeing quality control, and I'll be periodically going back and forth to make sure that everything is done properly. So believe me, my eyes and hands will be on the product. That's for sure. So people who are my fans, they'll know that I will be watching over everything. But I also will be going out and doing some events. I think that most of the people out there, or a lot of the people out there, know that I do music.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process.
We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club is the premier opportunity for you to experience fantastic cigars shipped to you every month. A beautiful variety of cigars, whether it's mild, medium, full, from various countries. And the April 2019 Officers Club selection is loaded with full-bodied flavor. We are featuring the Hoyo La Amistad Vertical Sampler. La Amistad, or the Friendship, translated from Spanish to English, is a unique Nicaraguan collaboration between General Cigar and A.J. Fernandez. Three great cigars, all full-body, the Hoyo La Amistad Gold, the Hoyo La Amistad Silver, and the Hoyo La Amistad Black, all full-flavored, all uniquely different. Join the Cigar Dave Officers Club today and get great cigars delivered to you like the Hoyo La Amistad Vertical Sampler. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club. $22.95 per month gets you the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. Join now the Cigar Dave Officers Club.
Hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. The General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2. For your comfort and convenience, the General has turned on the No Pleasure Police sign. You may now feel free to enjoy the good life.
And part of the good life, of course, is enjoying fabulous cigars. And in our remaining minutes, in our Cigar Masters Hour, Alan Rubin of Alec Bradley Cigars and Lars Tettens of Lars Tettens Brands rejoins us. Big announcement just over a week ago, Alec Bradley Cigars acquiring the Lars Tettens Brands in portfolio. So, Alan, let me ask you, when this announcement was made, I am sure that you received calls from people that were completely astonished, that, first of all, just came right out of the blue. And there's a lot of retailers that may never have heard of Lars, but there are plenty of retailers that carried Lars. You must have gotten swamped with calls from those retailers.
Yeah, it's actually pretty funny. I can tell you, I was just out in Lincoln, Nebraska, and I was with my territory manager out there. And I said, what's been the buzz so far on Lars? And he said, from the time the announcement was made to 11:30 that night, my phone, I was hanging up with one to answer the next one straight through. And I think that happened pretty much around the country. We also received a lot of international press, but I had so many, almost every text that came in to me started with, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, well, it was, I mean, I received calls from people saying, man, talk about a name from the past, Lars Tettens. I can't believe what I just read. And I certainly was in that camp when I received the communique from John Lipson. Alan, are there any restrictions? I know with the FDA, the predicate rules and all the other nonsense going on, will you be able to come out with new blends and new formulations, or will there be some restrictions on that?
Well, I mean, I can tell you, over the due diligence period when we were getting the deal done, Lars was, like I said, he's been a great note taker. He had a lot of information available to us. Lars has, I don't know if Lars has 50 brands that he has
at
in the
least.
Marketplace.
At least I had 50 brands with all different sizing and everything else. I had a huge amount of brands at the time. So it didn't really, that's really not going to affect us. We have so many lines to put out there that it's going to be incredible. The people who understand this cigar and have that sophisticated palate are going to go crazy when we bring back all those brands into the marketplace. And Alan is the guy to do all the infrastructure, let's put it in there. He's the man. He's going to keep that quality control, and together we're going to do something that the cigar industry is just not ready for.
So with 50 predicate brands or blends, Alan, you can release 5 a year, and you've got 10 years until you exhaust, theoretically, that entire predicate portfolio.
Right. So, yeah, we really don't have to develop anything new. Lars's portfolio was vast. I mean, there was a lot there. And so really for us, it just comes out strategically as to, you know, what's going to take priority, what are the first lines coming out, what's going to follow back behind it. But, one of the things about Lars being down in Nicaragua is that because his processes are so exacting, he does have to be down there. But at the end, Lars and I are both of the understanding that, you know, once we have the processes down, that he will go back, obviously check quality controls and those things to his standards. But our deal is that I was going to do the business. I was going to be able to bring the product into market, and Lars, I just wanted Lars to be Lars. Just go out and be the entertainer and be the creative that he is. So ultimately that will be more of his full-time focus. But again, we'll be down there on a regular basis, making sure everything is up to the standards that we were looking for. But there's a lot already there to work with, Dave. I don't think there's any reason for us to have to kind of develop something new now for FDA.
No. Lars, it's It's been 20 or so years since you have been out of the cigar business. Have you kept up with what's going on? Have you still kind of kept your hand and talked to some of your retailer friends throughout those 20 years?
Yeah, Dave, I never really left the cigar business. I was always making cigars. I never stopped making them, and there were stores that were my friends that owned the cigar stores I always made sure I hooked up with. But I was never really part of the cigar industry or part of the cigar business. You know, I only went to a handful of RTDA shows, and you remember the kind of RTDA events that I did.
Sure. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So now you will be attending. Will you be at the IPCPR convention late June this year in Vegas?
Yeah, I'm going to be with Alan. We're going to have it's going to be part of the Alec Bradley thing, but a little extension of it. And it will just be like a little cool kind of hangout vibe. People will have to get reservations to go in because it will be by appointment only. And you'll need to contact your sales rep at Alec Bradley and make sure you have an appointment set up because it will be only invitation only.
I want it on the record, Alan Lars. No invitation for the general. I just walk in. I get that priority.
No, you don't have to have an invitation.
Outstanding. Well, listen, congratulations to both of you. I cannot wait to get the first blends.
Remember the RTDA that you interviewed me and Ernesto on?
I do. Very well. That was from Cincinnati. I'm trying to remember. That was Cincinnati or
Houston.
San Antonio. That's right. San Antonio. That's right. San Antonio. Well, I cannot wait to get my hands on the new Lars Tettens brands that are finally reintroduced. Alan, I know you're going to get those in my hands once they're ready. Alan Rubin of Alec Bradley Cigars, Lars Tettens of Lars Tettens Brands. Great to have you both on the show. Cigar Dave, the General, saying may your humidor always be full. May your cutter always be sharp. May your ash be extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. Happy Passover. Happy Easter. Enjoy the holiday weekend.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167, 241-1167.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrup. Two teenagers have been arrested in Northern Ireland, suspected in the fatal shooting of a journalist during a riot in Londonderry.
The men aged 18 and 19 were detained under anti-terrorism legislation and taken to Belfast for questioning, the police service of Northern Ireland said. The men haven't been identified or charged. Lyra McKee, 29 years old, a rising star of investigative journalism, was shot and killed, probably by a stray bullet aimed at police, during rioting Thursday night. Police said the new IRA descendant group was most likely responsible and called it a terrorist act. Sarah Shackley, London.
Mass protesters and helmeted riot police clashed repeatedly in Paris today amid tensions on the edges of a yellow vest protest. Radical protesters hurling paving stones and flares attacked at least one boarded-up store and set fire to a few vehicles. Police repeatedly charged as they tried to contain the crowd. It's the 23rd week of protests against President Emmanuel Macron and his government. A California couple sentenced to 25 years to life after being found guilty of starving a dozen of their children and shackling some of them to their beds for years on end. During the sentencing phase Friday, one of David and Louise Turpin's daughters said she believes everything happens for a reason, but her experience just made her strong.
My parents took my whole life from me, but now I'm taking my life back. I'm in college now and living independently.
Meanwhile, the conditions inside the Turpins' home in suburban Los Angeles came to light only after one of their daughters fled the house and was able to plead for help to a 911 operator. The parents pleaded guilty back in February to neglect and abuse charges. More news, more analysis at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Alexander Green, Chief Investment Strategist for the Oxford Club. Just for a moment, I'd like you to picture the perfect stock. No doubt it would have hundreds of billions in revenue, more than IBM, Facebook, and Google. It would probably be a leader in cutting-edge technology like smartphones and robotics. It would be on the verge of dozens of blockbuster announcements. But most of all, it would be ultra-cheap, trading at less than $3 a share. Now, it may seem crazy that such a stock exists, but it does. It's a cutting-edge tech company that has made deals worth hundreds of millions of dollars with Nokia, Microsoft, and Cisco, and a $29.2 billion deal with Apple. It's set to create 50,000 new jobs right here in America, and Donald Trump even calls it the eighth wonder of the world. Yet you've likely never even heard of the stock. Why? Because it trades under a secret name. To find out why the secret $3 stock can help you retire, simply go to OneStockRetirement.com. That's OneStockRetirement.com.
The family of a five-year-old boy thrown off a third-floor balcony at the Mall of America last week say he's showing real signs of recovery, but he still remains in intensive care.
The boy's family posted the update Friday on a GoFundMe page that has raised nearly $900,000 for his medical expenses. Beyond the fundraising page, the boy's family has asked for privacy. Prosecutors have charged 24-year-old Emmanuel Aranda with attempted premeditated first-degree murder for the April 12th attack. Aranda told police he was angry at being rejected by women at the Minnesota Mall and was looking for someone to kill. Patrick Foss reporting.
The MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas, says it's ousted three scientists whom federal authorities suggested are involved in Chinese efforts to steal American research. The hospital says the National Institutes of Health could withhold funding if the center did not act quickly. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. There's a new weapon in the war against opioid abuse.
U.S. regulators have approved the first generic nasal spray version of Narcan, a drug that reverses opioid overdoses. The Food and Drug Administration on Friday okayed naloxone spray from Israel's Teva Pharmaceuticals. Naloxone has been sold as a nasal spray in the U.S. since 2016 under the brand name Narcan. Pharmacists can dispense it without a prescription. It is also sold as a generic or brand name drug in automatic injectors, prefilled syringes, and vials. Bob Agnew reporting.
Honda is slowing production of Accords and Civics as car buyers continue to favor SUVs and trucks. The automaker is going to temporarily idle a second shift production line in August at Marysville, Ohio. The shift is expected to resume production in several years. Also, some production of the CRV small SUV in Marysville will go to a factory in Greensburg, Indiana, where production of the compact Civic will be reduced. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It takes honor, it takes courage, it takes commitment to serve in our armed forces and sacrifice for our freedom. Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, reminding you how we can honor those sacrifices of our men and women. Come join us for the Northern California Veterans Museum annual dinner, banquet, and auction, Saturday, April 27th at the Veterans Event Center, 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. Enjoy a banquet dinner prepared by BC Stone Age Barbecue. Lots of drawings and auction items, including several firearms. All proceeds go straight to the funding of the Northern California Veterans Museum building project. For tickets and information, call 378-2280. That's 378-2280. Keep the date, Saturday, April 27th. We look forward to a great evening with you. Again, call 378-2280.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
In an hour, we'll finally get to read the 400 pages plus ourselves. Redactions aside, color-coded accepted. And we just have finished up with Attorney General. We heard Attorney General Bill Barr talk about what went in to his conclusions and when it went into the conclusions of the special counsel. With us right now is Tom Dupree. Tom is going to stay as long as it takes. Tom, this is what you're all about. Now that you're not in office, you can really do some analysis. Former Deputy Assistant Attorney General under George W. Bush, last hour, for a half hour, we saw the President's Attorney General read prepared remarks. And if you're watching on Fox Nation, they are right here. There you go. Here you go. These are prepared remarks from the Attorney General. You get from that four or five, six times he said there's been no Russian, there's been no collusion with Russia and the Trump campaign in all these different categories.
Absolutely. And I think if, you know, we were in a rational world, that really would be where the spotlight is today. In other words, Mueller's mandate, the central focus of his mandate was to investigate whether and to what extent Russia attempted to interfere with our 2016 election and whether the Trump campaign colluded with the Russians in that effect. He's now reached that conclusion, 400 pages, thorough, exhaustively documented, and it's good news. The answer is no. The campaign didn't. No American, as Barr reported today, Mueller found, no American knowingly colluded or assisted the Russians in interfering with the campaign. That's good news.
And he also talked about, too, this specifically when it came to Hillary Clinton's emails and the DNC emails. That was not done by an American actor. That was done and dumped in WikiLeaks, GRU, and Guccifer. And nobody played a role in that. They said there were 10 episodes that could have led to some type of obstruction charge, all of which nobody on the Mueller team or in the Attorney General's office thought that led to a clear sign of obstruction.
That's right. And it sounds like we're going to get some more information today about the nature of those 10 episodes. My guess is it involved the president talking with people in the White House, in the counsel's office, about his unhappiness with this ongoing investigation. And my guess is that Barr and Mueller will agree that there were some things that look like bad acts. But the critical point, as the Attorney General said today, is that in his estimation, the estimation of the Deputy Attorney General, there was no corrupt intent. And that's what's required for criminal violations.
Good point. And now, with the Attorney General brought up, and I even turned to you when he was saying it, and I said, wow, he's bringing up the personal emotion in that picture this president. This president is gets in office, and they say he colluded with the Russians. So his anger on a collusion charge, which was proven to be not true, was understandable. Cut 43, Attorney General Barr.
In assessing the president's actions discussed in the report, it is important to bear in mind the context. President Trump faced an unprecedented situation. As he entered into office and sought to perform his responsibilities as president, federal agents and prosecutors were scrutinizing his conduct before and after taking office and the conduct of some of his associates. At the same time, there was relentless speculation in the news media about the president's personal culpability. Yet, as he said from the beginning, there was, in fact, no collusion. And as the special counsel's report acknowledges, there is substantial evidence to show that the president was frustrated and angered by his sincere belief that the investigation was undermining his presidency, propelled by his political opponents and fueled by illegal leaks.
Now, why do you think he said that? Knowing that we have not gotten the report yet, Tom, he talked about the president's mindset and why he would explain to them why the obstruction was not intended if indeed took place.
Yeah, Brian, that was part of the press conference that really jumped out at me. And I think what the Attorney General was trying to do there is basically give maybe a little bit of a preview of what we're going to be seeing in an hour or two in terms of these 10 episodes that Mueller was looking at, that there may well be described in that report conduct that people could say, whoa, wait a minute, this seems a little heavy-handed. What was going on here? And so I think what Barr was trying to do, the phrase lawyers often use, is kind of draw the sting. In other words, you anticipate something bad going to happen and you you try to kind of lay a foundation so that people aren't shocked when they see it. So I think what Barr is trying to say there is to say, look, don't get distracted by things the president might have done or said, because at the end of the day, he was not acting with corrupt intent because he was legitimately frustrated by the media attention going to what we now know was a non-existent crime. That's what prosecutors do. That's what my former colleagues at the Department of Justice do every day, is they look at people's actions and they try to assess motive. And that's what the attorney general is doing here.
Right. And they said 10 different times. So they're going to be, and we could almost picture it now, him walking in saying, get rid of Sessions, fire Mueller. Rod Rosenstein is working for the other team, remember, wearing a wire and the stuff that had emerged. And you know that Donald Trump would probably go up to an attorney, blow up, like, for example, at Don McGahn. Don McGahn spoke for over 30 hours. By the way, Tom, did he have to speak to Mueller?
He didn't have to. I think one maybe overlooked fact in all of this is that the Trump White House set a tone of voluntary, extensive cooperation.
Which is
from
a good
the
tone.
Beginning. It's a good tone. It's the right tone. I mean, if I were advising the president, particularly, you know, now that we know there was no collusion, that's the same advice I would give. Get it out there. We have nothing to hide. And so I think that the White House deserves a little bit of credit for this, that they could have stonewalled. They could have invoked executive privilege to try to cover up some of the Mueller report. They didn't do any of that. They are erring on the side of transparency, which I think is a very good thing.
So here is the Attorney General talking about those episodes. Cut 10.
After finding no underlying collusion with Russia, the special counsel's report goes on to consider whether certain actions of the president could amount to obstruction of the special counsel's investigation. As I addressed in my March 24th letter, the special counsel did not make a traditional prosecutorial judgment regarding this allegation. Instead, the report recounts 10 episodes involving the president and discusses potential legal theories for connecting those activities to the elements of an obstruction offense. After carefully reviewing the facts and legal theories outlined in the report and in consultation with the Office of Legal Counsel and other department lawyers, the Deputy Attorney General and I concluded that the evidence developed by the special counsel is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense.
And because previously he talked about the emotion and the mindset, and what was the intent there? So one of the follow-up questions was from a member of the media who said, was it up to you to decide obstruction or not? He goes, well, it's not up to Congress, and he didn't make an opinion, so I assume it's not a problem if I made an opinion.
That's exactly right. And look, I frankly think it's a little ridiculous to suggest that DOJ should abdicate its duty in favor of Congress to determine whether or not a crime has been committed. DOJ's job is to gather evidence, look at documents, interview witnesses, all for the purpose of making that determination. Congress is free to look at this evidence and make their own determination. But again, their determination is not was a crime committed. It's whether what we see in the report provides grounds for impeachment.
So here it is. We know this for sure. There's been no conspiracy between another country and the Trump campaign. He said it multiple times in multi different areas throughout the report. That should all of a sudden, and I'm not a legal mind like you, but if I'm looking being investigated for a crime and there's no crime, they say, okay, good, you didn't do it. But you might have obstructed. Obstructed what? If there's no underlying crime, what am I obstructing? What do you mean I obstructed?
Well, that's exactly it. And I think that the fact that the president all along knew that he was innocent of these charges played a huge role in the attorney general's decision that no obstruction occurred, because the attorney general could conclude, based on the circumstances, that the president was acting, frankly, as probably many people in this situation would act, with a lot of frustration. We know that the president is tempestuous. He is decisive. He does not suffer fools gladly. He does not always like the calm, reasoned advice of lawyers, and I'm sure he said some things that we'll probably see in a few hours that might make people step back. But at the end of the day, there's no corrupt intent.
And that is the words of Tom Dupree, former Deputy Assistant Attorney General under George W. Bush. Now, a lot of what we're going to read, we've already saw on Twitter. We've already seen come out in ad-lib press conferences. We've seen it come out in interviews. How many times have we seen him on stage, surrounded by thousands, saying, no collusion, the collusion delusion, this is a witch hunt, Bob Mueller has, Bob Mueller's mad at me because I didn't let him into my golf club. Rod Rosenstein's a guy on the other side. He's the one who might be wearing a wire. We've heard it already front and center. You don't even need a source. All you need is a TV or an iPhone.
That's a great point. And I think what makes this case, in so many respects, unique, at least in my experience, is that all of these acts of alleged obstruction were not done at the dead of night. They were not done at, you know, 2 a.m. in a dark alleyway where threats were made. As you point out, they were done through Twitter, on public stages. I mean, the president made no secret of his unhappiness with Jeff Sessions. He was screaming that from the rooftops. So I think that is yet another way in which what Barr and the deputy attorney general were looking at here was an absolutely unique factual circumstance. And under those circumstances, they saw no evidence of criminal motive.
We're roughly 44 minutes until we get a shot at our own shot at 400 pages of the Mueller report. Here's Attorney General Barr. This is what he said 4 or 5 times during his 25-minute presser. Cut 42.
As you will see, the special counsel's report states that his, quote, investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. As the special counsel report makes clear, the Russian government sought to interfere in our election process. But thanks to the special counsel's thorough investigation, we now know that the Russian operatives who perpetrated these schemes did not have the cooperation of President Trump or the Trump campaign, or the knowing assistance of any other American, for that matter.
So, he made that clear. Nobody was there. So Roger Stone saying, I talked to Julian Assange, who he later denied. Michael Flynn saying, I met, you know, meeting with the ambassador. They said, did you meet with the ambassador? You said, no. Did you talk about, yes, I did. Did you talk about sanctions relief? No. Well, it turns out you did. We taped you or whatever it was. He's in trouble. All those things that added up didn't add up to working with another country against the election.
Yeah, and look, I think this is yet another lesson, or I should say the reinforcement of a lesson. We've seen it again and again throughout American history, that it's, you know, not the crime for which you ultimately get prosecuted and convicted. It's attempts to cover up, or at least in the view of prosecutors, you know, false statements, perjury, obstruction, rather than the underlying substantive offense. I mean, once you put an independent counsel investigation in motion, you never know what direction it's going to spin in. These are people who are going out, interviewing dozens of people, collecting thousands, if not millions, of documents, and all it takes is, you know, one false statement to a federal agent, and you've committed a new crime.
Which you, by the way, knowing this president is not as disciplined as Barack Obama with his words. I'm being generous. Why would you, as an attorney, ever have him sit down with the special counsel, knowing that perjury has already gotten so many of his colleagues in trouble before? So that's going to be the new thing. My prediction. Why was Barr bringing emotion and mindset into it when it comes to obstruction? Number two, why did he give that press conference? I think it's important. Number three would be, why didn't he sit down and talk to the special counsel if he has nothing to hide? So that's my prediction for those like Nadler and company and Wolf Blitzer and his network. That's what they'll be saying.
Yeah, and that actually, Brian, was one of the things that did surprise me about the way that Mueller wrapped up this investigation, is I was always of the view that Mueller would absolutely insist on sitting down with the president and even going to court to take him, you know, to subpoena him, to fight in court if necessary. He didn't. At the end of the day, he pulled back. There was a lot of discussion, a lot of negotiations about the time, the circumstances, the scope of an interview of the president. But at the end of the day, it didn't happen, which surprised me a little bit. I think Mueller simply concluded he had enough evidence from other sources in the documents to reach his conclusions.
Which was he didn't conspire. So what am I going to sit down and talk to him for? Do I have a wiretap of him talking to Vladimir Putin? It doesn't seem so. So listen, when we come back, there was some press questions. We're going to play some of those back. In case you do not know, we are now 38 minutes until we get the 400 pages, but we just got our press conference. We're bringing you back the highlights with Tom Dupree and more. Don't miss anything. We're keeping it here on the Brian Kilmeade Show on Mueller Thursday.
Coming to you on a need-to-know basis, because man, do you need to know. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text PERFORM to 79645.
7965. That's PERFORM to 79645. Start your online MBA, Information Management, or Business Analytics Master's program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
This is a cow whose milk became everyone's favorite cheese at the craft fair. But cheese only lasts so long. The impression a small business makes needs to last much longer. That's why Vistaprint is offering 500 truly personalized business cards starting at $9.99. Choose from hundreds of fresh designs tailored to your type of company. Or upload your own. The choice is yours. The time is now. Get 500 business cards starting at $9.99 with promo code 5151. That's promo code 5151 at checkout on Vistaprint.com. Vistaprint. Own the now.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
From Fox News Talk, here's another sound memory.
Hawaii Five-0 aired on CBS from 1968 to 1980. It was the longest-running crime show on American TV until Law & Order surpassed it in 2003. Best known for its location, cast including Jack Lord and James MacArthur, the famous line,
"Hook 'em, Dino,"
and its theme, composed by Morton Stevens, became a number four hit for the Ventures. And in the fall of 2010, CBS brought back a new version of Hawaii Five-0, and though the show was new, the familiar theme remained the same.
Stay tuned to hear more sound memories on Fox News Talk.
Talk show that's real.
This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Democrats in Congress have asked for Robert Mueller himself to testify.
Robert Mueller remains a Justice Department employee as of this moment. Will you permit him to testify publicly to Congress?
I have no objection to Bob Mueller personally testifying.
There's a lot of public interest in the absence of the special counsel and members of his team. Was he invited to join you up on the podium? Why is he not here? This is his report, obviously, that you're talking about today.
No, it's not. It's a report he did for me as the Attorney General. He is required under the regulation to provide me with a confidential report. I'm here to discuss my response to that report and my decision, entirely discretionary, to make it public, since these reports are not supposed to be made public. That's what I'm here to discuss.
Wow. Welcome back, everybody. It was a 30-minute press conference with some questions and answers. You heard some of the questions, and that was Attorney General Barr letting everybody know in a prepared remarks that there was no obstruction, that he does not believe anything warranted obstruction, although he did cite 10 episodes, and he says there was no collusion. And he went over specifically every category, no collusion between any American, Trump campaign or anyone else, and the Russian government, who absolutely tried to influence our election. My sense is it happens a lot with Russia trying to influence an election. Remember, Vladimir Putin evidently was mad at Hillary Clinton because she claimed that she tried to influence his election. Tom Dupree is with us, former Deputy Assistant Attorney General under George W. Bush. So I didn't know. He said, by the way, Tom, he said, I didn't have to make this public.
That's right. It's his judgment, and he has the discretion to either just keep it within the halls of the Justice Department, to release it in full, to release it in redacted form. And I think, as he quite reasonably said, that is the reason why it was his press conference today, because he was explaining his decision to make this in large part public.
So Chuck Schumer's just tweeted. He said, now that the President Trump's campaign press conference is over, it's time for Congress and the American public to see the hashtag Mueller report.
Well, I think, look, it's a little unfair, but I can't say that I'm totally shocked. We've seen this line of attack from a lot of our Democratic friends on the Hill saying that, well, Barr is not an independent attorney general. He's the president's lapdog. He's here, you know, in a Roy Cohn sort of role. I think that's a little unfair. I mean, look, Barr is gruff. He's stoic. He has a kind of a just the facts man sort of approach that may not endear him to everyone. But I thought what he said today was perfectly reasonable and appropriate, and that he's explaining his reason for releasing the report.
And here's another question that Barr got.
Mr. Attorney General, let's talk with Democrats who have questioned some of the process here. A Republican-appointed judge on Tuesday said you have, quote, created an environment that has caused a significant part of the American public to be concerned about these redactions. You clear the president on obstruction. The president is fundraising off of your comments about spying. And here you have remarks that are quite generous to the president, including acknowledging his feelings and his emotions. So what do you say to people on both sides of the aisle who are concerned that you are trying to protect the president?
Well, actually, the statements about his sincere beliefs are recognized in the report, that there was substantial evidence for that. So I'm not sure what your basis is for saying that I'm being generous to the president.
You guys, an unprecedented situation. It just seems like there's a lot of effort to go out of your way to acknowledge how this.
Well, is there another precedent for it?
No, but it's unusual.
Okay, so unprecedented is an accurate description, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, okay. What do you say to people who are concerned that you're trying to protect the president?
Eric.
And he walked off right there. That was Paul Reed of CBS. Tom? He actually went to somebody else. He didn't walk off there. Your reaction, Tom? You're smiling.
I love that back and forth. I mean, what I particularly liked was the line of attack on the Attorney General saying, well, you're talking about the president's feelings, you know, as though kind of there's something wrong with that. Well, the answer is that his feelings and his motive, that is the legal significance of deciding whether or not someone obstructed justice. What was their intent and their motive when they did what they did? And so it wasn't a question of Barr trying to defend the president or that sort of thing. He was giving his legally reasoned explanation for why he reached the conclusion he did.
30 minutes, Rob. Roughly in county till we get the report ourselves. Wow, what a day.
Simpson University is pleased to announce that its annual golf tournament is on April 26th at Goat Hills Golf Club. Join the rise at Simpson University, known as Simpson Rising, by joining or sponsoring this wonderful event. You can register or sponsor online at connect.simpsonu.edu/springgolf or call 530-226-4750. You can enter for a chance to win an Apple Watch, television, barbecue, and much, much more. So join us on April 26th at Gold Hills Golf Club for the Simpson Rising Pepsi Invitational.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dacus.
Pacific Justice Institute has once again defended and affirmed the constitutional right of a street evangelist to proclaim the gospel in a public location. You see, PJI's Washington State Attorney, Jorge Ramos, successfully defended this street preacher in Kennewick, Washington, who had been criminally charged with violating a noise ordinance. Our client's alleged crime? Proclaiming the gospel and defending life in front of a Planned Parenthood abortion mill. This is another big win for free speech because the judge threw out the case. Visit PJI.org and download our free guide to public preaching.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1983.
President Ronald Reagan.
How they preach the supremacy of the state, declare its omnipotence over individual man, and predict its eventual domination of all peoples on the earth. They are the focus of evil in the modern world.
To ignore the great majority of the American public who enjoys rock music is just sheer stupidity.
We had a good deploy, and Sun Hill's closing now. We'll be with you in a minute.
That's great, Sally.
Our immediate challenge to this atrocity is to ensure that we make the skies safer and that we seek just compensation for the families of those who were killed.
Never again should a black or Hispanic or woman or Jew, because of race, religion, or sex, be limited or inhibited as we grow. The aristocracy is not the limit. The sky is the limit. Our time has come.
News as it happens then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A group of police officers in Michigan make the Dean's List for making a little boy's birthday one he would never forget. In a Facebook post, Officer Lanaima with the Grand Rapids Police Department say they met 9-year-old Thomas Daniel when he missed the bus for school. The officer offered to drive him, and on the way, he learned it was Thomas's birthday. He was having a party that night and invited the officer, but what he told him next broke his heart. On their Facebook page, it said, Thomas invited him to his birthday party after school, but also confided that he gets bullied, so he was afraid no one from his class would show up. Officer Lanaima did make it to the party that evening, but unfortunately, Thomas's fears came true. No one other than the officer and the birthday boy's siblings came. Officer Lanaima also noticed something that was missing, the cake. So the next day, Officer Lanaima brought his teammates to surprise Thomas with a party he wouldn't forget. Thank you, Grand Rapids Police Officers, and happy birthday, Thomas. You made the Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Brian Kilmeade Show joins the Fox Business Network's Barney & Company with Stuart Barney, live on your radio and on the Fox Business Network. Here's Brian Kilmeade.
question is, Allison, or Eric, and Peach, should I take my jacket off for the TV hit? Good. Eric's giving me a thumbs up. So it's Brian Kilmeade Show. Welcome back. Stuart Varney's got the number one show in Fox Business. We love doing our weekly hits with him. He was on television on Fox and Friends with me this morning. And he said, Brian, make sure you know it. Just so you know, we're talking Tiger. Absolutely. I mean, I used to do sports all the time. My first job was sports phone, did all sports radio out in Los Angeles, XTRA. Then I did 101 sports for a while. I was hired here as a sports guy, but I have let it go, a lot of it. But for events like this, when things transcend sports into real life, so let's go to Stuart.
Host of the Brian Kilmeade Radio Show. All right, Brian, welcome back to the show. Always good to see you.
And
I want to talk to you about President Trump. What he tweeted after Tiger's Masters win. I'll show the audience. Here it is. Spoke to Tiger Woods, congratulate him on the great victory he had yesterday's Masters, and to inform him that because of his incredible success and comeback in sports, golf, and more importantly, life, I'll be presenting him with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. All right, Brian, I thought it was one of the great, great moments in sport of all time. But what's your judgment on the president giving him the Medal of Freedom to a golfer?
There's a lot of great athletes that have gotten the Medal of Freedom. I believe Michael Jordan has got it most recently. I mean, I remember Barack Obama lined up a whole bunch of them. To me, it's perfect. And not only that, this is something that Donald Trump predicted. An earlier tweet, Stuart, where the president played golf with Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods about a month ago, he said, people keep asking me, how did Tiger look? He looks great. He thinks he's going to win again, and him and Jack get along great. And I thought the president of the United States and Tiger Woods couldn't care less. He could, after what he's been through inside the sports community, we know the Golden State Warriors, we know about problems with teams showing up to the White House with the president, polarizing to some. He couldn't care less. He goes, I liked him before. I like him now. I like his golf courses. I came to play. So
case closed.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's – listen.
Yeah.
By the way, Stu, you and I talked in the break yesterday, today, this morning after Fox and Friends. We love America like comeback stories. We know none of us are perfect.
Yes.
And when you're a genius at something, the Einstein of golf is Tiger Woods. He was great at three.
Well said.
He was great at 10 and 12 and 16. His dad thought he was going to be bigger than Nelson Mandela and Martin Luther King. Think about that type of pressure.
Absolutely.
Obviously, he didn't handle it well. We know it. But he only hurt himself and his family. That was him.
You can be redeemed, and you can reclaim your life in America. That's a fact. Before we close, I've got to get to this. Russell Wilson, highest paid player in the NFL with the Seahawks, 4-year contract extension, $140 million. But what got to me, Brian, is the $65 million signing bonus, which is guaranteed. That's huge.
Yeah, because in football, you know, the contracts aren't guaranteed. They're getting around it by making the signing bonuses guaranteed. So I like that. A sport in which you don't last more than 2 years. I like the fact that you can get guaranteed money, especially knowing that the risk you're taking. I also love the story, Stuart, because he wasn't supposed to be good enough. He wasn't supposed to be a starter right away. He was good enough. He's been to 2 Super Bowls. He's won one of them. He's a classy guy. To me, he reminds me of the Derek Jeter of football. If he was in a bigger market, he'd get bigger, bigger accolades and more attention. But he's just a classy guy. And get this, if you're not jealous of him now, jealous of the fact that he could probably be a Major League Baseball player too.
Yes, well, sir, give him the money, please.
Yeah.
Before we close, Brian, I do want your reaction to the fire at Notre Dame. I think you and I were watching it at the same time yesterday afternoon. Your reaction, please.
Number one, it's I just love history. I can't get enough of it. I know I'm boring, but if you show me something's been around for 800 years, I'm not leaving. So to know the history there, that Napoleon walked it, that they took 150 years to build it, and to watch it go up in flames, I'm astounded. But now that I'm over the devastation of what happened. Now I'm saying, what happened? I mean, we know how quick the FDNY works in New York City. And people watching around the country, we're constantly in awe of the volunteer fire departments, how quick they get to your house. Mm. My goodness, where was your fire plan? And don't tell me the streets were crowded. We gave you a siren for a reason. You're surrounded by water. What was the plan? That's going to be the focus. Because I know the Vatican paid for the upkeep. Paris owned it. France owned it. Well, was that part of it? Because they weren't concerned with the upkeep. No one had the emergency plan. I think that's got to be the focus. So far, no one's talking about arson.
But Shep Smith's coverage on Fox News was absolutely terrific and outstanding.
He was unbelievable. Thank you.
He was truly great.
Yep.
Thank you, Brian. See you soon.
Go
next
get him,
Stuart. Next time you eat out.
All right, welcome back. 1-866-408-7669. Let's welcome to the show one of the stars of television, streaming, and radio. Dave Portnoy is here of Barstool Sports, which, by the way, was a very good investment. If very few people who are 16 to 25 have not heard of Barstool. And, Dave, it's the first time I'm meeting you in person. Thanks a lot. If you're cool enough for Tucker Carlson, you have to be cool enough for me. That's always been my philosophy. Right. Is that a bad standard?
I just never heard that standard.
Right.
That's fine by me.
In the Tucker Carlson house, it's very common.
Okay.
Right. So great to meet you. Congratulations on all your success.
Thanks.
Sorry about what happened at the Super Bowl, but it didn't seem to have fazed you.
No, the Super Bowl was actually a great day. That's why I was almost thinking of reversing to the year we lost. No, the Super Bowl couldn't have gone better for me.
Because you're happy the Patriots won, but you were tossed out.
Yeah, I was dragged out by Goodell security. I missed it, but it was great publicity for Barstool. So, I mean, it honestly couldn't have gone better.
Right.
I could have dreamed up a better scenario.
Describe the philosophy, what you started off with Barstool and what it's become. Is this the exact image you thought it was going to be?
No, Barstool was nothing like I thought it would be. It started... I really just wanted to start my own business. I hated my job. I knew I wanted to try my own thing. So I was a sales monkey. I basically worked for a company called Yankee Group. I cold calling, basic sales guy. Graduated Michigan. I had no real skills except they said you have people skills, so you go into sales. That's all you can do when you graduate without any real degree in anything, like a liberal arts degree. So I had a sales job. Did that for 5 years. Did pretty well, but I had to try my own gig. Barstool started as a gambling publication. It was strictly gambling, fantasy football. It was a four-page black and white, basically newspaper, and it slowly evolved over the years. Went online, and we've been doing it now for 15, 16 years, and it really became more of a men's interest publication, and now we've even expanded. We have a lot of women who we have podcasts and a whole women's vertical. So we just reacted quickly, whatever people want, but it's really a lifestyle publication. But no, it was strictly gambling when it started.
And obviously a huge sports guy.
Yeah, big sports guy,
Boston guy. But when something happens when Tiger, and as you know, my first job, you probably don't know, my first job out of college was sports phone.
Okay.
976-1313, before All Sports Radio.
Sure.
And then I went to All Sports Radio, 101 Sports, and got hired here as a sports guy. So I got it. But I kind of left the play-by-play behind. But when stuff like Tiger happens, Dave Portnoy, who lives the sports world still, what are you thinking? When you know he's in contention, what are you thinking about what it means?
So I hate Tiger Woods. There's a couple key tenets of the Dave Portnoy philosophy. One of them has been an intense hatred of Tiger for years. So, and it's not because of his game. I never had a problem with him till Elon beat him to death with that golf club, which he never admitted what's happened, but that is what happened. And I didn't like the way he handled it. I didn't like the fact that he was such a public figure, such a wholesome figure, and he had this fake fraud life going, which, by the way, I could care less. Embrace it. Like, if you're going to sleep with all these waitresses and have all these affairs and do all this stuff, I have no problem with it. I actually kind of like bad guys. I like rooting for bad guys. I think it's more interesting. But the way he handled it, he wouldn't take questions. He wouldn't talk about it. He still really has never talked about it. To me, he was a fraud guy. The image that he showed to the public was not the real Tiger Woods. I kind of liked the real Tiger Woods. He just never showed it. So I became a very anti-Tiger guy. I was for sure on the train that he'd never win another major. I thought it was maybe the biggest downfall from grace since Mike Tyson.
Absolutely.
Mike Tyson, just a guy people said would never lose, and then suddenly, you know, everything goes to hell in a handbag with him, and his whole career goes down. I thought that was Tiger Woods to a degree. So I beat the drum. He'd never win another major. He'd never win another major. We have a lot of big Tiger Woods fans in our office. So it when he got in contention, we were all watching it live, the Tiger fans in our office.
Let's hear how it sounded. Cut 49.
With three holes and a putt left in this Masters, Tiger Woods has the lead at minus 13. The impossible has become possible. Wondering if he was ever going to play golf again. He now knows he can play golf again. People were laying wagers as to whether he could win another major.
And what are you thinking, Dave, when this is happening? You're in your office on a Sunday?
Yeah, I'm watching it with three guys dressed in red mock turtlenecks and the black
hat. They
don't
respect their boss?
Yeah, no, it's contentious. So I was in my head crafting my formal statement, much like a politician, maybe, like a concession speech. Fortunately, I got an emergency. So we were live. We were streaming this live, watching our reactions. I got an emergency phone call that coincided right with when Tiger was about to win, so I had to leave.
A real one?
Yeah.
Like personal? Okay.
Oh, yeah. It was real. Some people, I would say the hater community is saying I planted the phone call, but that's just not true. I would never stoop to that level. So a call happened the next day, and even when I was on Tucker yesterday, I did say I was the first one to put my hand up and say, you know what? I was wrong. He proved me wrong. And the message for the kids at home is, just admit when you're wrong. And that's what I did. It was a lesson for everybody. You know, just put your hand up, say, I was wrong. I say, never win. He won. He proved me wrong. He put his foot up my butt.
Cut 51.
Years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
So it happened, but even though you were rooting against it and you staked your reputation on it and maybe your future,
yeah,
were you at all saying this is a moment I'm not going to forget?
It's a huge moment.
Thank you.
There's no doubt.
And 43.
Let's before we start throwing bouquets at him, let's not forget Jack won when he was 46, I believe.
True.
And still has more majors. So that you got to just shift the goalposts a little bit now if you're in my shoes, which is what I have done. Now the chase will be, can he beat Jack? Now he won another major.
Right.
Jack won one older. Jack still has, I think, three more than he does. So we'll see. You got to move the goalposts.
So Dave, this is the one thing I think you could appreciate. He actually paid a huge price, not only personally. I mean, he had this aura about him. But then, like, his physically, three knee operations, back fusion. So, and the personal humiliation's been unbelievable.
Yeah,
right?
Well, he's definitely, although it's one of the things, I mean, universally, I'd say I am in the extreme minority of people who root against him. He's pretty beloved. For overall, you have to say, living a life that you know, you could say he's a scumbag, but everyone loves him, so he gets a free pass. That's why I don't like him.
All right, so, and lastly, this was a guy that I was supposed to do. I worked at Channel 1. I'm giving you a lot of my resume. There's going to be a quiz later. I worked at Channel 1, and they said, Brian, there's this guy in this guy named Tiger Woods out in California. His dad named him Tiger to reconnect with a South Vietnamese guy that took him on a tour. I remember, like, trying to research this story, and then ultimately they said, no, I couldn't do it, being the Tiger Woods crew. But this is Tiger Woods at 14 years old, cut 56.
That sort of brings me through in the clutch. When you have to make a putt, you make a putt. You have to hit the shot, you hit the shot. You just sort of, like, drop into another zone, and you block out everything. That's really helped me.
It's what made him different from everybody else.
Well, his dad made him a robot. I mean, there's the footage of when he was 3 or 4 years old saying that he was going to have more majors than Jack.
Right.
I mean, he's more robot than he is human.
Do you wish you had parents that made you that successful young?
I guess what I would have to think about is, I better be that successful. I won't want them to make me a robot and then me not go win majors.
Right.
Now, golf is a sport where I think muscle memory, you can maybe create a great athlete. I don't know. I'd have to see the results.
Right.
I won't want to waste all that time and then just stink. That would be
terrible.
Yeah,
at least get a scholarship or have your parents pay to get into a school.
Yeah.
Hey, when we come back, something else extraordinary happened yesterday. Dave's going to put it in perspective. I have no idea where he stands, but I know it'll be definite for or against. Dave Portnoy here, the creator of Barstool that changed America as we know it. Back in a moment.
You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? one that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645. Start your online MBA, Information Management, or Business Analytics Master's program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645.
Credit products are made by WebBank. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
How did I get into credit card debt? A trip to the emergency room.
Car repairs.
Moving expenses.
There's a million ways to get into credit card debt, but one sure way to start getting out. Avant. Avant offers access to online unsecured loans from $2,000 to $35,000 at competitive rates and no extra charges for paying back early. Over 500,000 customers have experienced the convenience of a loan through Avant. No wonder Avant has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. The application takes minutes, and if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, funds are deposited as soon as the next business day. And now Avant will also give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your loan options and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 7171 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 7171. Avant.com, code 7171.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Ock.
The talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
A divorced 40-year-old man in Indiana is suing his own parents for throwing away his $29,000 collection of pornography. Yeah. Yeah. And guess what, ladies? He's single.
You guys were talking about this on Barstool yesterday, Dave?
Yeah, we talked about this story. I mean, how could you not?
How could you not sue your parents, or how could you not talk about
it? How could you not talk about it? I mean, it's everywhere, and they're talking about it there. Well, there's a couple factors where I weighed in on this one. So he got divorced, moved back in with his parents, and brought all his belongings, and moved out. and didn't take the porn collection with him. So it's 1,000% on the guy. If you have a porn collection or anything that's that important, you got to take it with you.
Right.
You can't leave it to your parents to do it. And the parents said, well, it's like we want it. If you left coke, we want to give it to a coke addict. My son's a porn addict. So this is all on the kid. You can't sue. It's
right.
Your fault. Don't leave it in their house.
Yeah, how many people would sue for my generation whose parents threw out their baseball cards who knew they had value?
Yeah,
absolutely.
If you value it, take it.
Right. My parents would have sued back. It would have been a long process. This happened last night. Clippers playing the Warriors, game one in Oakland. Cut 58.
An open shot. Stabbit able to knock it down. Post lead for the Clippers. Since it was 12-11. 31-point lead by Golden State. Dissipated. Here's Thompson has to fire up a three. Would not matter. And that will do it. A remarkable comeback by the L.A. Clippers. On the Warriors court here at Oracle, down by as many as 31.
How does that happen? This is one of the greatest teams of a generation, the Warriors.
No idea. It was one of those things. I went to bed, and I actually tweeted when I woke up. It may be the most shocking thing to wake up to in my life. I thought, I didn't know the exact score, but when I went to sleep, I felt like the Warriors were up 50. And then when I looked at the scores, just checked what happened, and I saw the Clippers won. Amazing. It's a great game, too. I mean, Steph Curry, basically, and Klay Thompson basically said they quit playing. They did. Be interesting to see how they bounce back. But it's a blip. More so, I think it's just a red flag whether Houston can beat the Warriors. The Clippers, I think, will get
it. Your heart's in Boston. I get it.
Big time.
But the Knicks, who have been so bad for so long, have a chance to instantly rebuild their roster with a guy they lost yesterday, Kevin Durant. If they get Zion Williamson, they're bringing Patrick Ewing to the lottery. Could that actually get your interest, or are you all about the Celtics?
I'm all about the Celtics. I pay attention to the Knicks. The only way I could ever see the Knicks really becoming competitive if lightning strikes James Dolan.
Because there's a problem.
He's a moron.
But yet the Rangers had success. He backed off. He put somebody in charge, right?
I mean, how do you define success for the Rangers?
Well, I mean, they became under Glenn Sather. Didn't they win a cup under Sather?
Yeah, I mean, they won the one with Messier or whatever, but I mean, I was still in short pants then.
Lastly, 30 seconds left. What's your day look like the rest of the day, Dave?
What do I have? So,
you have to yell at somebody because you're a CEO now.
Yeah, no, I do have some yelling to do. I have a pizza review with Bob Saget coming up at noon, and then meetings, and then we have our own serious show, 4 to 6, and I swear on this channel.
I'd rather you don't.
Well, too late.
Right. Dave, and what kind of pizza review is this? Where do we see it?
I don't know where we're going. So for pizza reviews, I try a new place every single day. So we've done 500 in a row. The guy who films it picks the place, and we'll go near where Bob
is. I see it on YouTube?
Oh, yeah. It's on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere.
Dave Portnoy, I hope this is just the beginning of a long relationship where the point is sometimes you'll show up and I won't even be able to put you on. That's how close I want to become with you.
Right.
Is that possible?
That was good. Yeah.
Dave Portnoy, congratulations on all your success.
Thank you.
Brian Kilmeade Show.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload, but what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645. Start your online MBA, Information Management, or Business Analytics Master's program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. A redacted version of the Mueller report was finally released last week, but political analyst and former presidential candidate Gary Bauer says don't expect Trump opponents to give up efforts to discredit the president.
When various reports by the inspector general of the Justice Department, the criminal referrals that have been made by Congressman Nunes, and some of the other things that are in the are getting ready to come out in the months ahead, we may see a real scandal, a real case of collusion.
Bauer is president of the conservative group American Values. A global team of experts next week will begin reviewing how the Boeing 737 MAX 8's flight control system was approved by the FAA. The agency says experts from 9 international civil aviation authorities are confirming that they will participate in a technical review of the jetliner that's been grounded around the world since mid-March after 2 crashes killed 346 people. For House of Representatives Chaplain Patrick Conroy, Friday was really good.
A federal appeals court ruled that Conroy can't be forced to let an atheist offer a secular prayer on the floor of the House. The Court of Appeals for D.C. dismissed a claim from the co-founder of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, who had claimed that his rights were violated when Conroy turned down his request to serve as a guest chaplain. While atheism may have played a role in Conroy's decision, the court actually focused its ruling on a requirement that prayers in the U.S. House of Representatives must be religious in nature.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines with that report. Yellow vest protesters were out in force Saturday, setting fires on a march through Paris as they sought to drive home their message to a government they believe is ignoring the poor. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Restricting free speech is restricting truth. The far left has crossed a line, silencing conservatives across America. Shadow banning on Twitter, Facebook, blocked ads on YouTube, restricted searches on Google, Prager University. Why isn't it fully available everywhere? All of these are direct attacks on our First Amendment rights. It's time for conservative America to wake up. You have a choice. You can fight back with veteran-led PatriotMobile.com, America's only conservative cell phone company. Every phone call protects your constitutional rights. Every bill that you pay fights for your freedom. Get the same reliable nationwide coverage you already have and know that your hard-earned money is supporting conservative organizations like the Heritage Foundation, PragerU, and Alliance Defending Freedom. With plans starting as low as $25 a month, why wait? Call 1-800-A-PATRIOT, use the word Hugh, or visit patriotmobile.com/Hugh to waive your activation fee. We will not be silent. Join me and thousands of Americans. Switch to Patriot Mobile today and let freedom ring.
News from the environmental page, a federal judge rules on the Trump administration's position on the sale of coal from federal lands. We get the latest in this report from correspondent Jackie Quinn.
President Trump, in his 2018 State of the Union address,
"We have ended the war on beautiful, clean coal."
But a federal judge in Montana says lifting the Obama-era moratorium on selling huge volumes of coal should have triggered an environmental review. The former president had expressed concerns that taxpayers were being shortchanged by low royalty rates for mining companies using federal land, and that burning coal was making climate change worse. The Trump administration's now ordered to negotiate with states affected, tribal leaders, and environmental groups. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. President Trump may soon be able to claim a sweet victory for his deregulation push, with officials preparing to get rid of the decades-old rules for frozen cherry pies.
Emails show the FDA planned to start the process for revoking the standard for frozen cherry pies this week, followed by a similar revocation of the standard for French dressing. Plans to get rid of the obscure rules had been tucked into the Trump administration's deregulation agenda. It's not always clear why some food terms have standards and others don't. The rules are seen as arcane by many and are a sore spot of the food industry, with companies saying they prevent innovation or prompt lawsuits. Patrick Frost reporting.
An eaglet hatched Wednesday at Dolly Parton's Dollywood as part of the park's Eagle Mountain Sanctuary, a 30,000-square-foot aviary being taken care of by the American Eagle Foundation. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
From the Fox News Radio studios in New York City, giving you opinions and facts with a positive approach, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. It's going to be a big Friday show and certainly a consequential one. The bottom of the hour, Chris Wallace and Jonathan Swan waits in the wings. This is all day one after the Mueller report dropped, and we'll see what's next. So also we have some big news on 2020. So rather than keeping Jonathan waiting, let's get started.
Now with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
He is in, apparently, a new entrant in the race for the White House. AP confirms former Vice President Joe Biden is going to give it a whirl yet again. Expect to announce he'll run for the nomination midweek next week. He will be number 20.
Wow, Joe Biden will make it official Wednesday. He's in. I say the current poll leader is 2 months away from cratering. Am I wrong?
Number two.
The collusion narrative is dead. Some will still cling to it, but they look increasingly ridiculous. But a new narrative has now arrived in the form of the fact that Trump was not absolved of obstruction of justice.
Here we go. 400-plus pages. How did you read? How much did you read? What did you learn? I'll share my thoughts about a Russian intrusion ending up being a perfect storm of success for them and 26 months of personal and political turmoil for us.
Number one.
Have you issued a subpoena to get the full report?
We will in about an hour.
There you go. Jerry Nadler, a little bored. He'll issue a subpoena to get the whole Mueller report. Good luck with that. So what's next? You just heard what the Dems plan on how the Dems plan on taking this to Congress. The GOP is investigating the investigators and trying to find out when and how this all started. Joining me now is Jonathan Swan of Axios. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Jonathan, the biggest surprise to emerge for you, if anything, from the report?
For me, it was the sections involving Don McGahn, and surprise was not because we hadn't read about the broad contours of it, but just how forceful Don was with the Mueller team in saying that he felt the word that has stuck out to me was trapped, and that he actually packed up his office to resign because he didn't want to follow through with the president's order to get rid of Mueller. So that part I thought stuck out because it was just striking to see someone who until pretty recently was the White House counsel on the record, under oath with the Mueller team saying that these things happened.
So Don McGahn said essentially, if you make me fire him, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to quit. And the president said, well, you know, he's conflicted. And the president and McGahn wasn't buying that at all.
Well, asterisk there, McGahn, this is where it gets complicated. McGahn never threatened to the president that he was going to resign. He tells Mueller, if we believe his testimony, he tells Mueller that he made the decision and then conveyed that to Reince Priebus and his chief of staff, Annie Donaldson, and he packed up his office and then ultimately reconsidered after Bannon and Priebus told him to. And then apparently Trump just dropped it. But the way McGahn tells the story is Trump persistently, the president persistently called him repeatedly saying, you need to basically get rid of Mueller, talk to Rod, being Rod Rosenstein, and do it. So in McGahn's telling of events, the clear narrative is that the president wanted to obstruct justice, but McGahn prevented him from doing so.
But in the president's mind, number one, it didn't happen. Number two is the other story is Corey Lewandowski evidently got a call from the president and said, take this down. This is how I want you to get to Jeff Sessions and tell him to resign. Do you see that as a problem?
Yeah, so, well, he told him to unrecuse. I mean, yes, but it's sort of secondary because the report also shows that Trump asked Jeff Sessions directly to unrecuse. So, again, there's a lot in there. This is all from that obstruction section of the report. We already knew the big principal finding, which is that the Mueller team, after 2 years, found no evidence of criminal conspiracy or collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. So, I mean, we knew that. That was already the headline finding. So that's why most of the commentary is on the obstruction section, because that's where we really didn't have detail about what they sort of had pieced together.
So let me ask you, they went into this to find out if the administration colluded with Russia, and they find no collusion, right? So if there's no underlying crime, can you blame the American public if they don't think obstruction's that big a deal?
Well, I would never, especially with my accent, pretend to speak for the American public. But, you know, the questions, I think they're serious questions to look at. I don't dismiss the idea of obstruction out of hand or the worthiness of looking into issues where the president was trying to manipulate witness testimonies. I don't question any of the findings in the report. And obviously Mueller declined to make a decision one way or the other on obstruction, and the Attorney General Bill Barr and his deputy Rod Rosenstein decided that there wasn't evidence to charge with obstruction. So that's where we're at.
Do you think the American people, do you think there's a big appetite for an ongoing investigation and bringing Don McGahn back outside May 1st and May 2nd? Do you think the American public want to go through a detailed examination of the Mueller report using the same people that have been featured? Is that the sense that Democrats are going to do that?
Democratic leaders don't believe that the American public have the appetite for it, which is why you're seeing people like Steny Hoyer. He's been shredded for doing this, but he is second in charge in the House, came out yesterday and basically poured cold water on impeachment.
I'll read it exactly. He said, based on what we have seen today, going forward, our impeachment is not worthwhile at this point.
Right. So that view is shared by Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, but there is pressure from the left flank. We also saw Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez yesterday say, shortly after the report was released, that she was joining Rashida Tlaib, another new left-wing member of Congress, to push for impeachment. So the impeachment drive is not going to go away, but the view among Democratic leadership is that the American public does not want this and that they don't want to get ahead of public opinion.
Go get them. Jonathan Swan, you're the best. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Coming up next, Rudy Giuliani's going to join us. He just called in. We're going to put him on. He's the president's attorney. He's upset with a lot of things that are in there. I think so. Some stuff is just flat out not true. He'll expand on that when we come back. And then we'll be joined by Chris Wallace. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show. Don't move.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
Credit products are made by WebBank. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
How did I get into credit card debt? A trip to the emergency room.
Car repairs.
Moving expenses?
There's a million ways to get into credit card debt, but one sure way to start getting out. Avant. Avant offers access to online unsecured loans from $2,000 to $35,000 at competitive rates and no extra charges for paying back early. Over 500,000 customers have experienced the convenience of a loan through Avant. No wonder Avant has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. The application takes minutes, and if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, funds are deposited as soon as the next business day. And now Avant will also give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your loan options and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 7171 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 7171. Avant.com, code 7171.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645. Start your online MBA, Information Management, or Business Analytics Master's program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make.